Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Poopy balls.
Okay. Is that where we're going for 2017?
It's poop. Poop town.
All right. Very cool. Welcome to the first new episode of 2017 for the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek.
Dave.
Oh, hey. Brutal Dave. I was thinking about this horrible dream I had.
Was it about poop?
All of 2016 was fucking terrible.
But that wasn't a dream.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty poopy.
In lies with the theme.
That's right.
And this
so
is George.
It wasn't all terrible, and we're going to talk about those things that weren't terrible.
That is true. We are going to talk about the non-terrible and
the non-heinous.
Most non-heinous.
You know they're building a Circle K.
I know.
They are building a Circle K right around my house.
They're building it walking distance from my house. They're building a Circle K. Every time I drive by, I go, there's strange things afoot.
I need to find a...
Every time I see one.
Now I just need to find a way to like build a fake photo booth so I can do a photo shoot in front of it.
Phone booth.
Sorry, phone booth. I said photo booth, didn't I? I meant phone booth.
You mean the American TARDIS?
Yes, the American TARDIS.
All right, go ahead and introduce yourself, too.
George. Motherfucking Tripsis.
There you go. And of course, as well as
I'm back again, Comical JC, Justin Corbett.
Our long-standing resident.
That's right. He's not leaving.
I've been here for like a month and a half. I feel like this is my new home.
You're just our special guest every episode.
I feel special.
So we are going to do our 2016 rewind in this episode. We're going to talk about comic books and video games and movies and TV shows and albums that we really enjoyed. I'm not really going to do... we've never really done our top 10, top 5 type of way, but some of these guys feel the need to do it, and I'm not going to take that away from them. If they feel the need to put numbers with stuff to make them feel better about themselves, I want to let them do that.
That's what she said?
That one didn't make sense. I'm not going to give you that one. No.
It makes sense.
That one, taking that one away.
It just takes some brain power. That's all.
Nope. I'll give that a number 5.
That's a number 5 on the That's What She Said jokes of the year.
That's average.
So what have you guys, before we get into, is 5 average? I guess so.
I don't know. Is it average?
I think last time I wrote a study, it said 5's average.
Poopy balls.
Poopy balls.
That's my safe word, poopy balls.
All right, so what are we starting off with to rewind?
Let's talk about what we've been up to recently before we get into
it. Oh, recently? New Year's happened.
It did happen.
I'm sorry.
Only the people who've been there would know this joke.
That's an inside-outside joke, if you know what I'm
saying. Inside-out, quite literally
it was inside-outside, yeah.
An inside projectile.
Somebody at the party had too much to drink.
Yeah,
and
it's okay.
Stained George's floor.
It happens. It was Carrie's fault. I mean, truth be told.
Stop egging people on, man.
I guess so.
Party animal.
Do you want more? You want some more alcohol? No, I'm good. I'll drink your alcohol then.
Here, put some alcohol in your throat.
It was a good party. We all hung out together.
Yeah, it was fun.
We played a game called Utter Nonsense.
Yeah,
a game of accents.
It should be retitled "Make Your Friends Feel Uncomfortable" game.
Well, make Carrie feel.
Or at least Carrie.
I didn't feel uncomfortable the whole time. Just some of the time.
It was a lot of fun though.
I enjoy playing that game.
Hey, I won a couple rounds.
You did.
You sure did.
You did.
But the Jew never came around, unfortunately.
You were the best gangster.
That's right. I never got to...
The Jew accent never came around, so I never heard you...
the Jew card.
You should just do it now for us. What does a Jew sound like?
I am doing the Jew card.
Lame.
Well.
He's got to do the stereotypical Jew.
We'll move on from there.
Womp womp. See, he's the uncomfortable now.
any movies, any games you've been playing? What have you been doing?
Since last time we recorded,
about tickling our geeks, is that where we're going first?
Sure. Well, that's what's and we're looking to in the future. What's tickling? But we can talk about what you've been doing. What's tickling your geek this week?
Are we jumping into a new segment?
I just started playing South Park: The Stick of Truth. on Xbox. You know I'm not a big video game player. Like, I don't have time for it like I used to.
It's kicking it old school.
But you loaned me the game. I'm a huge South Park fan. I finally got the opportunity to play it.
And, first couple of hours into the game, right?
I'm like 3.5 hours into it.
What do you think?
I'm having so much fun. It's an awesome game. A lot of fun.
What'd you pick as your character to be?
I picked the thief. It's great because Cartman's like, I never seen a white thief before.
I played the fighter in that one.
Yeah.
My first time around.
I played the Jew.
Figures.
Yeah.
He's like, we can't be friends.
You told me that. I was like, fuck you, Cartman.
But yeah, it's a really fun game. I've wanted to play it for a while and never got around to it. And now I finally got to.
I'm so excited for the sequel. That's my... It's coming out... I don't know if there's an official date yet because they keep on adding and working on it. But Stiles Park, The Fractured Butthole...
Comes out this year. It's
supposed to
keep
come
saying
out
next year.
Early this year, I think. I don't know. I don't know the exact date.
It was supposed to come out for Christmas in 2016, yep. But they moved the date.
That's right.
Well, after playing this one, I'm definitely going to be playing that one, too. So
totally.
Looking forward to it.
This one has a superhero theme to it this time.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's going to be cool.
The whole Mysterion thing.
The raccoon.
The coon.
And the coon.
Coon and friends.
And the coon.
I heard the game play style is a little bit different. It's not like... Like the, so much turn based.
It's going to be more like action free play, free run play, from what I heard.
Yeah, I think so.
Just the fights, you mean, though?
It's yeah, just be the like, fighting scene. Yeah, everything else will be the same. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
I started playing Final Fantasy 15. I got it for like $6. I had a gift card.
Is that the new one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because the last Final Fantasy game that I played was like 7. And I'm not, I don't like. I like RPGs, but I don't like turn-based RPGs. They just bore the hell out of me. But this one,
Final Fantasy games always lose me about
18 or 40 hours
of the way in, yeah. Because that's when you hit the grind.
Yeah,
and
I hope this game doesn't have a lot of grind. But this game, the gameplay, it's more in style with like Kingdom Hearts. So it's completely action oriented. It's weird. It's a weird game. Because you're like in this weird country and you're like the prince and then you're in a car with your friends and you're all emo and you're trying to get to the Hot Topic. But
I remember that happening in the trailer.
Yeah, it is. And you push your car in the beginning of the movie, of the game, I want to call it a movie. But the narrative seems pretty cool so far. And that's what I look forward in games. I look for that narrative to pull me in. And this game definitely has it so far.
Word.
And the action's pretty good, too. The fighting mechanics are pretty cool. But I'm going to give it a little shot.
Cool.
First Final Fantasy game I've played since what? When was it? 7?
90s.
7 was a long time ago.
96, 97?
97, 98.
Yeah, something like that.
The last one I played was 9.
I had a PlayStation.
I actually finished 9. I went all the way through that one.
9 was
fun. I never finished 7. But I finished 9.
9 didn't really have as much of a grind as 7 or 8 did. Like,
but
it
7,
was really,
8, 9.
You could just play the story and like work your way through it pretty quickly in like 20 hours or whatever.
I was talking to somebody at work and they're 40 hours into the game. I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of game here. So it's cool.
40 hours into 40
a game. Hours into the game.
Final Fantasy game.
Jeez. Yeah.
They're long.
That's
They've been working
too much
on this
time.
Game since 2007 or something like that. It's been in the making for like 10 years. So... Finally came out.
Cool.
Exciting.
Sure. I'm giving it a shot. That's all I can say.
I guess, are we doing the tickle segment now? Is that what we're doing?
No,
is that what we're
whatever, doing? Whatever we're doing.
Oh, okay.
Because we're not going to actually have that segment official this week because we have
okay.
a lot of stuff to talk
about. So we're jumping it into the beginning since
we're jumping the shark already.
All right. I guess what I've been really excited about and been up to is watching an old series that came out in 2015 called 11/22/63. Is that a Stephen King short?
The Amazon show?
Hulu. Yeah.
Hulu. I don't have Hulu.
Hulu's.
You don't have Hulu.
You did for a while.
I had a 3-month trial.
Oh, gotcha. You didn't want to pay for it?
Nope. Cheap.
Cheap.
Yep.
Anyway, the show is really good. It's only it's an eight part miniseries. Every episode is about an hour or so. And it's really good. I enjoy it.
How's DeFranco?
It's like a time travel thing, right?
Right. So what happens is like James Franco is an English teacher and Carrie's missing with the mixer, so I don't know if I should keep talking.
You can keep talking.
Okay.
I'm just turning somebody up.
All right. So James Franco plays a English teacher like a bored English teacher who's tired of his students not paying attention, and like he's kind of distant from everyone. He's going through a divorce, and his best friend's like an owner of a diner, and he's like, "Hey, I want to show you something." And he tells him to go in the closet, and he's like, "You're shitting me, right? You want me to go in the closet?" Like, "No, just keep on going.
I have a portal into another world."
And eventually, he keeps on walking through the closet, and he falls in 1960. And
so it's Stephen King's Chronicles of Narnia.
With it's JFK, like the, yes.
It's like
the hippie, the witch.
The diner, the teacher, and the closet.
It should be more like the diner, the assassin, and the
closet.
And the teacher.
And the teacher in the closet.
Yeah. Teacher in the closet. Anyway, it's really good. I enjoyed it. It was 8 parts. If anyone has a chance to watch it, I recommend it.
Cool.
Yeah, that looks fun.
Anyway, the whole point was the reason the guy shared this information with him, because he found out he has cancer, and he needs someone to finish his mission, which is to save JFK. I forgot to mention that part. To make it enticing, I guess. But it's not like he can jump to 1963 when the assassination happened. He has to wait around in 1960 for 3 years.
Oh.
Yeah. So he has to blend in and live.
Yeah, really commit to that mission.
Yeah. No, really. And there's some really fucked up shit that happens. That's what makes it interesting. Now, it's not how it ends. It's about how the whole story gets there.
What about you, Dave? What have you been up to?
I went to a different New Year's Eve party where we burned things.
And there you go.
Burn that fucker
we
to the ground.
We wrote all of the horrible things about 2016 on pieces of wood and then threw them into a fire pit.
It's a lot of wood.
I saw those pictures, actually.
It was a lot.
I saw the one that said, "What, this fuck 2016?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one that we dropped in the fire at the changeover.
Oh, nice.
At midnight. That was the one. That was the last one. So I did that. The next day I drove to Dallas and did holiday stuff with my family up there. I haven't really been home to be doing stuff. I've been watching Twilight Zone. That's about all I've been doing in my downtime. I watched Rise of the Planet of the Apes that you lent me, because we had talked about it and I had never watched any of those.
Did you like it?
So it was all right. It was
speaking of Franco,
it couldn't decide what kind of movie it was going to be.
I could see that.
It was like, no, we're a serious movie about ethics.
Well, it's
and
called Rise of the
everything.
Plot of the Apes. Oh wait, it's planet, not plot.
But then by the end, it turned into a monster movie and was fun. So
I think I like the second one much, much better. It's a lot more fun.
I don't know. I think they're both. I think they're both equally good.
I don't mind the like philosophical approach. Like, that's cool. It's just I felt like the movie couldn't decide which one it wanted to do.
Who played the dad? Was it a
guy from Third Rock of the Sun?
Yeah. What's his name?
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
There you go. He was also in Dexter.
He was really good in Dexter.
I never saw Dexter.
Really?
I never got that far in Dexter. I know he's in it, but I never got that far.
After he left was when the show...
Yeah, that's when it started going downhill from there. Especially when Tom Hanks' son...
Yeah. Colin.
Colin Hanks, thank you. When he became a killer. That was a weird show.
It was weird. The last like 4 seasons of that were just awful.
All right.
Okay.
That made me want to watch it then.
Well, I mean, it's good up to that point.
The season's really good.
Yeah.
The Showtime show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's on Netflix, I think, or it was.
Yeah. I tell you one thing I have been watching on Netflix, though. Trollhunters.
What? Yep. I told you it's a good show.
Episode 6 into it. It's really good.
You also started watching Westworld.
I did. I'm going to get to that. Westworld is, we're going to get there.
Cool.
I'm not very far into it, but I already know.
Who do you think is a robot?
Everybody. I'm just going to go there.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw it all out there. Everybody's a robot. All
right.
Or nobody's a robot.
Or nobody.
Oh.
Maybe there's no robots at all.
Maybe Hurley is a robot.
Maybe it's the Matrix.
Maybe.
Maybe it's all mind control.
Maybe it's the smoke monster from Lost.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
That's the robot.
Man, don't talk shit about Lost.
I watched Lost.
I loved Lost.
Lost helped me lose like 100 pounds.
TV show?
Yeah. Because I watched it at the gym almost every day when I started going to the gym.
Wow, look at that.
All seasons of it.
Dun, 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 dun. Yep. The more you know.
Thank you, John Locke.
That's right.
Or J.J. Abrams, one or the other.
One of the two. All right, let's move on to our first topic, which is going to be movies.
Movies!
So, rewind for movies, right?
Sure.
Everybody ready?
What?
Be kind, rewind.
That's right.
I love that movie.
Let's weed every
Makes
movie.
Makes me tear up every time.
Let's weed up every movie that we watch this year.
That would be fun, actually.
That would be fun. Everybody has their list, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So let everybody get their list out. Can you make your list make noise?
No, I'm not going to make my list make
Yours
noise.
Yours is digital.
Yeah.
I did it for him.
That was not mine.
Let's start at the beginning of the year. I know there's probably one on everybody's list that I want to mention.
Kung Fu Panda 3.
That's not it.
Oh, damn.
That was a good movie. I
never
enjoyed
saw
it.
That.
Not
I
my top movie
I never
of the
saw
year,
two
though.
Either. I'm going to say Deadpool.
As your top, one of your top movies of the
one
year?
One of my top movies of the year.
Right on. That's Did not
still,
make my top movies of the year
Still
list.
A rewatchable, fun as hell movie.
I think I've watched it too many times.
This is a year where I watched way less movies than I typically do.
I did too.
I only saw like 17 new movies, which is really low
for
me.
More than me, actually.
I usually watch like 40 to 50, so it was definitely low for me.
So I saw 16 movies this year, and I felt like that was a lot for me. I don't make it to the movies as often. I have kids, and it's hard to, you know.
Well, I don't make it to the movies. I watch them at home a lot of the time, but I do see a lot, usually.
So,
Does anybody agree with Deadpool with me?
Yeah, Deadpool actually made it. I made a top five list, and Deadpool ranked four for me.
See, I did a top five. I guess because I only saw 16 movies, I was like, I don't know if I should really like pick 10. Maybe I should pick more like five.
Pick
that
five
I feel like
that's
what I felt too. Yeah.
Deadpool didn't make mine.
I have a top 10 with honorable mentions.
Okay, we can go there. We can do that.
Sure.
I liked Deadpool. It was fine.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
It was
I thought
really
it was
entertaining.
Yeah.
It was funny as shit.
I thought it was the best superhero movie this year.
Debatable.
That's Civil probably true.
What did you think was better?
Civil War.
You thought Civil War was a better movie than Deadpool?
Yes.
Parts of it, maybe, but not the entirety.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say Civil War is more rewatchable than Deadpool.
That might be true. I don't know if it's a better movie, though.
I think it's a better movie, but I do think the structure of Deadpool is stronger because it's a formulaic structure. They don't have to do much.
Does everybody have Captain America: Civil War on their list?
I do. No. It's where is it at on my list?
I didn't really like it that much, honestly.
Civil
like
War came up number 9 on my list this
year. I saw it once. I feel like maybe I need to watch it again. I have seen Deadpool a couple of times. But yeah, it was okay. I wonder if I'm not getting superhero fatigue.
Everybody's starting to feel that a little bit.
Honestly, like since Ant-Man, I don't think I've enjoyed a Marvel movie that much. Like Ant-Man, I didn't like at all. Civil War.
You didn't like Ant-Man?
Not at all.
I love Ant-Man.
Civil War
I liked it a lot
was
too.
Good, but it wasn't great. Doctor Strange, we finally got to watch.
I watched it the other day.
I liked it. I didn't love it.
I thought it was okay at best.
I thought it was better than Civil War.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
I think Winter Soldier is the best movie.
Oh, yeah, totally. I agree margin. With you.
I agree with
Civil
that.
Civil War, there's definitely a lot of boring aspects
I totally
to the
disagree.
Movie.
I think it's all good setup, and it pays off in the whole movie. There's no bigger bill. It's all contained in one movie, and that's what I enjoy.
The airport fight scene, it's amazing. The whole movie is worth it just for that one shot right there.
There's a lot of fun stuff. I felt like the ending was too convenient, and there was a lot of things they did just to do them. I don't know.
Marvel needs to fucking kill somebody.
Yes, I agree. That was my biggest grief of that movie, that they should have killed what's-his-face?
What's-his-face?
Flying through the air, falling, crashing.
Falcon?
War Eagle.
War Machine?
Yeah, War Machine. Oh, War yeah, Eagle. War Machine.
The part that,
That would have... I think that would have changed the impact of that movie significantly if they had gone ahead and done that.
Yeah. Somebody actually, if there really were,
if there were actual
dire
casualties
consequences and people died, yeah.
Yeah, the only superhero movie that made it on my list was Deadpool.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Civil War is my only superhero movie, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my list. I like Doctor Strange. Not as much.
That's
as
on your top 10? Or
I'm not going.
Your top 10. Movies. How many movies you got on your list there? Would you say
nine?
Like
I have nine?
Okay,
on
so
my list right
you're
now.
Nine top movies. Okay,
I have one that nobody's going to agree with me, but okay, I have
is
ten.
Is it Ghostbusters?
No, That's my number one. Ghostbusters is my number one movie of the year.
God damn it.
Bortnagar?
Yeah, pretty much. My number 10 of the year.
And if you believe that, that's not true.
My number 10 movie of this year, of 2016, was Zootopia.
That's on my list.
Zootopia is on my list.
I didn't see it.
Oh, it's on Netflix. You can watch it for free.
Yeah, it is on Netflix.
I really don't have any interest in it.
Oh, it's really good. It's fairly decent animation, but you don't like animated movies.
Not really.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's probably why you didn't like Ant-Man.
Ant-Man wasn't an animated movie.
I didn't like any...
No, but the humor was very animated.
I didn't like
the
supporting cast in Ant-Man, which is, I think... I love Paul Rudd, and I love Michael...
Douglas
a lot, but mm-hmm. I, like, the supporting cast, I hated every single one of them.
The Hispanic dude's hilarious.
It was all, like, bottom, lowest common denominator jokes. I didn't think it was funny at all.
I thought it was clever, and it fit in that universe.
Yeah. I did like Zootopia. It was a fun movie.
Yeah, so that was
very
barely in my top 10.
And it was a little bit different because they did try to touch subjects that were a little bit...
Yeah, it was very different for animation, and especially for Disney, to touch about sexism, racism, classism.
Yes.
And it was really good.
They touched on all those isms, yeah. Didn't they?
Isms.
Isms.
They put all the isms in one movie.
Not the best Disney movie that came out this year, though.
Nope. No, it's not. It is also not the only Disney movie on my list.
I would have to give that to Moana.
Moana was the best Disney movie.
Moana was my number 5 movie of the year.
It's excellent.
Or 2016, yeah.
I finally got to see it. Everybody's like, it's a great movie, and I finally got to see it. And
it's pretty fucking good, right?
It's pretty great.
Did you catch the Mad Max reference I was talking about?
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It made sense, right? Little tiki guys.
Tiki guys, yeah.
Those are awesome.
My favorite scene in that movie was the boss fight with the giant crab. And they're singing.
It sounded like a David Bowie song, right?
It was great.
That was intentional.
Yeah, I saw that in the behind the scenes afterwards.
It's what's his name?
Jermaine.
Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, Jermaine Clement. Yeah. He said that he was totally doing a David Bowie thing.
Oh, yeah, he definitely was. So.
Yeah, I was telling Catherine when we saw it the first time, I was like, that sounds like David Bowie.
It's a great movie. I think it really is.
It's definitely one of the best Disney movies in a long time.
It looks beautiful. The colors in it really pop.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
And the songs are bad earworms.
The music...
I think all they had to do was add Link into the movie. It would have been like the Wind Waker.
Wind Waker.
Yeah.
This was... I actually went and searched out the soundtrack to listen to for this movie. And the last movie I did that for was Frozen, and that wasn't my choice.
Dude, much better than Frozen, I would imagine. Dude,
let it go. Let it go.
I'm still living with it. So once it's gone, then I'll let it go.
Yeah. Frozen's not a horrible movie, but
it's not a good movie.
It just got overshadowed by all that, that song and all the princess stuff and all that.
It was not that great of a movie. It really wasn't.
How many times have you seen that?
Because I've seen it 100 times.
I've only seen it once.
Because I have a kid that's obsessed with it. First time through, I was like, it was good. It wasn't great. But now I've seen it 100 times, and it's still not.
Now you want to tear your eyes out when you see it.
I know why you hate it. Maelstrom.
That doesn't help.
It does not help.
That doesn't help at all. Anyway, this isn't supposed to be about that. Moana was a far superior movie.
Have you seen Moana yet?
No.
You have no interest in that either, huh?
Not really. I mean,
it's great, dude.
It is a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's always better things to watch. Things I have more interest in watching.
That makes sense. Okay. Anything animated, don't include Justin.
Yeah, it's just not my thing. Never has been.
So, moving on, my number 8 of the 2016 was Star Wars Rogue One.
That's definitely higher on my list than the number 8.
Higher?
Yeah.
Wow. Where would you put it on your list?
If I had to put a number to it, do I have to?
If you had to put a number.
If I had to put a number to it, probably number 3 or 4.
It's my number 3 movie.
Really?
Yeah.
The reason why it's even on my list, because it was entertaining, and it was probably the best entertaining movie
you
of the year.
You have more problems with that movie than anybody here in this room. So
that shouldn't be true. All y'all should see the faults with that movie.
Oh, there's definitely faults, but there's always faults. You just have to ignore some of them.
The stars, right?
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
So I wasn't here when y'all talked about
Rogue One. Shit on the
movie. There was...
I didn't shit on the movie. I enjoyed the movie. It's on my top 10 list.
Because you felt obligated to put it on your top 10
list. Not obligated, not at all. I just think it was it was one of the most fun movies I saw this year.
Okay.
Despite its faults.
Despite its faults.
Yes.
But yeah, I had life shit going on when that happened. But this was the most fun I've had watching a Star Wars movie since I was a kid.
Agreed. Even more than Force Awakens for me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I thought Force Awakens was more fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had more
Force
fun
Awakens
the
has
movie.
The better characters and is a lot more fun than Rogue One.
I think Rogue One's a better movie.
I don't think
Rogue One has as much replay value. Like, it's the kind of movie you have to be in the mood to watch. Force Awakens, I can literally watch any time, and I'll have fun watching it.
Rogue One has no characters, has no story, and all it has is action figures moving the plot along. That's my only beef with it. Other than that, it's pretty, it's fun, and it got explosions and great callbacks to the originals.
Except Tarkin.
I saw how they made Tarkin on TV. I saw it on my TV at home. It actually looked decent on TV, so I'm starting to wonder, maybe it's because I've seen it IMAX 3D twice now.
Yeah.
Maybe the effect doesn't look as good in theaters as well on home video.
It looked fine on normal screen.
Certainly, no, it didn't.
No, it looked
like,
fake.
Yeah, well, really? It did.
I didn't think it was that bad on like just a
I think
screen.
Leia was the better of the two.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
But Tarkin, some scenes look good, some scenes look really bad.
Too much close time on his face. Yeah, too many close
If they
up,
had avoided that, it could have been much more forgivable.
Extreme close-up!
I think where it really where it kind of gets sketchy is where the lighting changes or when there's other like live characters mixing in with them. That's when it gets really sketchy.
What's the director? Chris? I can't think of his name, no.
The Australian dude?
Yeah, what's his character's name?
I don't know. White Cape Australian dude is what I called him.
Okay, that's what he went with in the original script.
I don't remember his name.
Was it
Krennic?
Krennic, yeah, that's it.
That's bad when you can't remember the villain's name. Is he the main villain? I have no idea.
They had a shot of them two right next to each other. And
I think Vader's the main villain.
I guess, but he's barely in it.
I think the Death Star is the main villain.
the Death Star is the villain, I think.
I don't know. There's so many like plot holes and bad story choices
in
that
movie.
Well,
they were working on this movie until right up to release, so they did a lot of reshoots and stuff like that.
No, because they shot a movie, and Disney's like, this doesn't make sense toward the end. You need to reshoot this. And so they spent 2 weeks reshooting the end and rewriting the script.
Yep.
So there you go.
Hopefully we'll get to see that original version.
I don't think we ever will. You know how Disney is. They don't do director's cuts.
Well, we've seen a lot of the stuff in the trailer, so...
That doesn't mean anything. You would probably see scenes, but you'll never see cut.
Somebody will cut it all together eventually.
Maybe. But they won't. They're so different that they won't match anymore. You would have to
Somebody's just going to fan cut it together. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe.
All right. So what's moving on?
Moving on. Number 7, if I can find it. Did I make an... Oh, here we go. Number 7 was, for me, was 10 Cloverfield Lane.
That was on my list, my short list of 5. That was on my list
That's
as well.
Right on.
It's my number 1 movie.
Your number 1 of the year?
I loved that movie so much.
Really? That's the best movie of the year for you?
I watched 17 movies. I didn't watch 50 like I normally do, so... The 17 movies I saw, this
was my
favorite.
I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I loved it, but I don't think it was like the best movie.
It was my favorite of all the movies I watched
think
this year.
If I would, I'd probably put it at probably number 5 or 6 in my list.
See, I like I said, my list is 5. It's if I was ranking, it would probably be number 5, maybe.
It's a great movie.
I enjoyed the hell of it. And then what was great is how quiet they were about it the whole entire thing. Like, you really didn't know much about it till you saw it in theaters.
And I'm a fan of the director.
Well,
because...
and that's really helpful because the movie changes
the movie
on you.
Fucking pulls a rug underneath
you. Yes, it does. And so that was really smart.
It was dark.
And
it
John
was
Goodman was.
John Goodman should have been nominated for that movie. Or maybe will be. I don't know.
Weight loss, John Goodman.
Yeah, that's when he was like before he lost weight for that other movie he did.
I liked how it tied into the universe. Mm-hmm. I liked the I liked everything about this movie.
Well, it's great. You don't even have to watch Cloverfield to enjoy this movie.
No. That's true.
It totally stands on its own.
Yeah.
But if you've seen Cloverfield, it adds a little extra oomph to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No T.J. Miller in this one though.
I don't think it needed that comedy aspect.
I'm joking. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the director. He used to be a podcaster, actually. So there's hope for everybody. Hope for all of us. We can eventually become a movie
director. We could do things, right?
We can do the things.
I made a mistake on my list. Anyway, moving on. Were we at 7?
Mm-hmm. 6.
We're on 6 now. So Star Trek Beyond was my number 6.
Really? I never saw it.
I saw it.
So good.
Like, I'm a Star Trek fan. I just never got around to seeing it.
So good. You should watch it.
I saw it, but I don't know if it's going to stick on my list, though.
Oh, it's so good.
It was my number six, too.
I watched it recently, and I forgot. Like, it came out in theaters, and it came out on Blu-ray. And I watched it on Blu-ray, and I just forgot how much fun that movie is.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
It's a lot of fun. It barely didn't make my top five.
Barely didn't make it.
You're at number five now?
Number five, which we already said was Moana, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, talking. So we're on to the big five now, past the big five.
The
now.
Four.
Number four.
The four. My number four, it was really hard to break it down to this top five, but my number four is Green Room.
That was one I've been wanting yet. To see all year, and I still haven't had a chance to watch it.
I've seen it at the number one slot on a lot of horror lists. Like, I really want to see
it. It's not a horror movie, though. It's a thriller.
It seems like it's the kind of movie that fits in with...
It's a gory thriller, right?
Yeah, it's a gory... It has gory scenes in it, that's but why. It's a thriller movie.
I want to see it. Like, I haven't gotten to yet, but I imagine if I had, it would probably be somewhere.
If you come over tomorrow, that's what we're watching.
Okay.
I'm just saying. It's a great movie. I love that movie. And what makes it even... it probably makes me like it even more. It's the last live-action body of work we're going to get from Anton Yelchin. So that's true. It makes me appreciate it even more, I guess. So my number three is Arrival.
Didn't get to see that.
I haven't seen it yet, but I figured it'd be higher on your list.
As much as you raved about it, I thought it would be your number one or two.
It was really hard whittling it down.
I know what your number two is.
Yeah, I think I have an idea what it is too.
It's probably my number two movie of the year.
It's your number two movie of the year.
Nice Guys.
Yeah, Nice Guys is my number 10.
It's my number five.
Number five, that low? Son of a
you man. Talked so much about that movie. When I finally watched it, it lived up to all the hype that you gave it. It was the funniest movie this year.
It's funny. It has a good plot. Yeah. Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling are so good together.
I think Ryan Gosling was fantastic in that movie, and I'm not a fan of his, but he was so funny in this movie.
Yeah, he's making a turnaround as an actor. Ever since Drive came out back like 3-4 years ago.
Drive is a really good movie.
He's been making a turnaround for me as an actor, I guess. Did you get a chance to see that movie?
No.
It's a good movie.
It is pretty good.
It's a great movie.
So, yeah, Arrival was my number three. If you haven't seen Arrival,
I'm trying to figure out what your number one is going to be now.
I like I said, nobody's picked, out of all the things all the lists I've been to, nobody's picked this as their number one, and it just blows my mind.
I know what it is.
What is it?
Ghostbusters.
Sure isn't.
What is your number one?
All right, so we're going to jump to number one.
We're at number one.
Well, there's other movies I could talk about. I could talk about, like, honorable mentions first.
Let's go to number one.
Straight to number one?
Straight to number one.
All right.
No more foreplay.
Number one was Hunt for the Wilder People.
What?
Heard really good things about
it. It was my favorite movie of the year.
I could have guessed it, honestly. I was thinking that's probably what you had.
It's so unexpected.
I don't know what this movie is, really.
The guy who made What We Do in the Shadows.
Still haven't.
He's also directing the new Thor movie, Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Tiki or Taika, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but it's so funny. It's about like this outside fat kid who he's an orphan and he keeps going from home to home, and he ends up in this home with Sam Neill, who's like a begrudging old man. And this really nice lady, and the really nice lady ends up dying.
And it's really nice ladies do.
Yeah, and but the kid doesn't want to go back to the orphanage, and Sam Neill doesn't want to take care of the kid. So the kid runs away into the woods, and Sam Neill doesn't want to deal with life now that the person he loves is dead. So he runs into the woods, and the two end up meeting each other.
In the woods?
Yeah, in the woods, and they have to like learn to live with one another, and they end up becoming really good friends. It's really
any
funny.
Dinosaurs?
No dinosaurs.
Not watching it.
There's a giant boar. If that makes you feel better.
Sounds like you calling the movie a giant boar?
No, it's not.
Not if it's his number one.
It's not boring at
like
all.
Like a wild boar. I got you.
It's super funny. It's emotional. It's a great movie. And anyone who hasn't seen it needs to watch
it. Blu-ray or anything yet?
I think so. I haven't seen it in the store, but you can rent it on Amazon or iTunes or whatever.
Interesting.
I highly recommend it.
Are there any other movies on your list, Dave, that we didn't touch upon?
Yes.
Let's hear.
Me too. Kubo and the Two Strings.
That was my number 11.
I really liked it.
I didn't like it as much as you guys. Here's why I think I don't like it. I'm going to try to revisit it again. But I saw that the same day I saw Moana.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's unfair.
So I saw Moana, and then I came home and I watched Kubo.
But think about it though, if you really try to compare Kubo to any other stop motion film you've ever seen, Kubo is the best one ever made.
But I just got bored in parts of it, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it was boring at all. The only part I don't like is the ending.
Okay, yeah, because
they kind of pussyfoot the ending, I think, in my opinion.
It was sort of obvious.
I didn't think that they did. Are you talking specifically how they handle the villain at the end? It's really uncomfortable, and I actually think that's one of the things I like about the movie.
Okay.
How they resolve the villain character at the end.
But the villain
feels wrong. It feels wrong.
Yeah.
And that kind of intriguing question that raises, I think, is one of the reasons that I really like the movie.
And it wasn't a typical, hey, we're going to fight the bad guy at the end of the movie type of deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it had that, but it didn't get resolved that way.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. It was absolutely one of my favorite movies. I watched it again last week, I guess. My kids got it for Christmas, one of their gifts, and we all sat and watched it. Beautiful stop motion, beautiful animation, period.
It's a great story, too.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's a great adventure story, Chinese fairy tale kind of thing.
Did you see this at all, Justin?
No.
Are you going to?
Probably not.
What's
it's not animated. It's
stop motion.
I
still
animated.
Got a lot of horror movies and stuff I want to watch. Like, I don't like animated kids' movies. I mean, even though I know they're like geared more towards adults than they used to be and stuff, it's just not my thing. Like, I'm way more drawn to like horror movies and action movies and things like that.
Nothing's wrong with that.
Were there anything
I love
that?
Animation.
It wasn't a lot of good horror movies
in and
this
of
year.
Itself. I just like animation. It's
You're
always
saying
been
yes
something
there was or yes there wasn't.
Any other movies?
I only saw 17 movies.
There is one other movie that has not been discussed that I'm not really ranking the rest of the stuff, but this is my favorite movie of the year and it has not been mentioned yet.
Can I take a guess?
Yes.
Is it The Witch?
It is The Witch.
It's my number two movie.
It was my Arnold.
Sorry, The Vivitch.
It was my honorable mention right underneath.
That's
Kubo.
On. You said on.
It's on Amazon Prime.
I'm going to watch it this weekend. I really.
Oh, you haven't
need to
seen
watch
it yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
I totally recommend
turn
you watching
the lights
it
off. Turn the sound up
and
turn on
subtitles.
I say no to subtitles.
Yeah, I'd say no to subtitles,
really?
Too. You just have to pay attention.
Just pay attention.
Don't do other things while you're watching it.
Yeah.
Pay really close attention. Listen. You know,
listen and watch.
I had to watch it with
decipher
subtitles.
What they're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, but I fucking love this movie. It's
I do, too.
Beautiful. It, like, just every scene in the movie is...
Best ending of a movie ever.
I could agree with that.
Do they In Night Shyamalan?
Yeah.
The best,
I really
it's
like
a best
the ending.
Horror ending.
They
movie
don't
In, a horror
in
movie.
Night Shyamalan it, do they?
What do you
no.
mean?
I mean, there's...
Like, is there a twist? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I guess
no,
you could
there's
call
no,
it
there's no giant twist.
Not really.
There's no twist you don't see coming if you watch the movie appropriately.
Yeah, the other thing that you have to think about is... So, the tagline for this movie is... What is it? It's like a New England folktale or something like mm-hmm. that. This is a horror story. And you have to remember that it is a horror story for the people living it. This is not really like a modern day horror movie at all.
No.
It's horror exactly as these people would have imagined
period.
It.
Yeah.
This is the characters in the movie, this is the worst thing they can imagine.
Get and inside their heads.
Get inside their heads.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting
yeah.
at. If you see this movie from their perspective,
it's brilliant.
It really is. And it's beautifully shot. I love that so many of the scenes they're like, so much of it was shot with just whatever the natural lighting was. And so, like...
It's very much like an ambient kind of
it's
horror
very,
film.
This is the most black metal movie I've ever seen.
that's
yes,
absolutely true.
Exactly.
Absolutely true.
It's the most black metal movie I've ever seen. It's very ambient. It's very...
So Abbas doesn't show up?
Very yet? Moody.
It could in the background.
Is there
it's
any
very,
church burnings?
No.
Oh, that's not a very black metal movie, then.
But there's lots... There's the stark contrast... You know, I'm thinking of the scenes where, like, the family's sitting around the dinner table or whatever, and, like, the only source of light in the scene is the fire behind the
father.
Do
you
want to
know anything about the movie before you watch it?
No, not really.
Okay.
I want to be surprised.
Every major occurrence of the horrible things that happens to them is more and more, like, black metal than what happened before.
There's really no huge surprise. Like, we could tell you everything that happens in the movie, and it still will be as impactful if you were to watch it the first time.
I don't want
to
know. I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Yeah, cool. You'll love it, I think.
Okay.
My next honorable mention, right underneath The Witch, is Hell or High Water.
I've heard so many good things about that, but I
that's like an Oscar race movie, huh?
I really liked it. There are some parts of the movie where I feel like they could have cut it out because it was kind of unnecessary. But overall, I love the relationship that Chris Pine and Ben Foster have. They play brothers who...
I'm not a Chris Pine fan.
I like Ben Foster a lot. I think he's a good actor.
Well, I mean, he does a great job in Star Trek.
I think he does. I know this guy. He doesn't like him, but I think he's doing...
Is it those deep baby blue eyes?
His eyes. They bother him.
Yeah, his eyes. You just get lost in them is what it is.
I don't get lost in them. They just freak me the fuck out. Like,
I feel like he's been doing an increasingly good job of playing the Kirk character.
Totally. Yeah. If you haven't seen Beyond, you should totally see it.
I saw Beyond. And I liked it.
Even from the trailers, though, I'm like, he's getting this Kirk thing down. I can tell.
They need to do one more and he'll be perfect. So it's about these two brothers. One of the brothers was in prison for a really long time, and the other one's about to lose his farm or his ranch and his property. So they devise a way to get the money back by robbing banks in Texas.
Okay.
And
sounds fun.
What's his face is in it? The dude. Dude, Big Lebowski.
Oh, Big Lebowski, dude.
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, thank you. He's in it. He's really good.
I didn't know you meant the dude.
You're like, that dude's in the movie.
I didn't mean that dude, but the dude.
He has a really sick accent in this movie, too, doesn't he?
You know.
As he usually does,
yeah. No more than he has done normally. It's like he's done that one movie where he played a country singer and hasn't left it.
I haven't watched that yet. I have the...
I like Jeff Bridges.
R.I.P.D.
I do, too.
No, it was before that.
He
had a really bad accent in that movie.
God, I can't remember that movie.
Crazy Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played a country western star. I haven't watched it yet.
And ever since he played that movie, he's had a western accent in every movie.
He's embraced that I'm a drunk.
I'm a drunk western.
Curmudgeonly southerner kind of.
Yeah.
So my next movie that's honorable mention is Train to Busan.
I've seen that at a lot of top lists too.
What is
it? Horror.
It is a
what is it called?
Train to Busan.
It's a zombie movie.
I've never heard of this.
Out of Korea, and it is good. Like really
good zombie movie.
Yeah, like I couldn't believe my eyes Great character development. You care about people when they die.
People die in it?
You don't want people to die, and it's not just like regular boring zombies. It's like crazy going after you zombies. And it's fun.
Is it subtitled or?
Yeah, it's subtitled. I rented it by accident on Amazon like 2 weeks or last week, and I was like, "Oh, I wanted to watch this anyway." So,
how did you rent it on accident?
I was just flipping because they have a sale.
This isn't the porn I wanted.
No, they have a sale for like where you can rent any movie for 99 cents.
I was looking for
Run
a Train on Busan.
On Booty is what I was like. Train on Booty, please.
Booty Train. This is not Booty Train.
No, they had that sale for 99 cents.
Okay, yeah.
And I accidentally rented it, and I didn't mean to, and because I was trying to save the 99 cents for a different movie, and I used it for that one.
Oh well,
yeah. Oh well,
it became one of your.
It was good one at least, right?
Yeah, it was great. So I've watched it twice now.
Does it normally rent for $1.10?
No, it's
that
like
would have sucked.
No, it rents for like $4.
Okay. You have any other honorable mentions?
I do. Honorable mentions let's see. Swiss Army Man, which I just watched.
It was a lot of fun.
I need to watch that.
It is super fun.
Is that streaming on any...
It's on DVD, so it should be by now.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
And I think that's my last one. Yeah.
What about you, Justin? Any other movies?
That's it. I only saw 17 movies. Like,
yeah. I haven't seen that many this year.
There's only like seven of them I can even talk about.
I said earlier I've seen 16. One of those I really shouldn't even count because I only saw 30 minutes of it.
What's that?
Hardcore Henry.
I haven't seen that yet. I want
to
see it.
I got horrible motion sickness and had to leave the theater.
There's some cool things that happen in that movie. Like I thought it was a lot of fun.
I'm gonna mention a couple of honorable mentions. And I'm sorry about this, but...
Sorry about that.
One of them is Yoga Hosers.
Yoga Hosers is fun, too.
It's a fun movie. I don't care. It's been shit on by every single Kevin Smith fan. I know everybody jumps on the boat for that, but I had a fun time watching it. That's all that matters.
Johnny Depp's best performance in years.
Did you have a fun time watching it because we saw it live, or did you have a good time watching it because you watched it again since then?
I've watched it again since then.
Too. Okay.
Yeah, I watched it with my wife.
It's just the third act just doesn't hold up at all.
It's not a great movie. Like it's.
But he warned people before the movie even came out. He's like, I am making a movie that's a bad homage to 80s
No, he didn't say bad, and he said he wanted to make a monster movie. He wanted to make a monster movie for children. He didn't say crappy. He never says crappy. He wants to make a good movie. He just can't, is the problem.
He can make good movies. They just They just have to be dialogue driven, and you know.
Oh, the best parts of this movie is when the girls are like making fun of the customers.
Yeah, Kevin Smith writes dialogue better than almost anybody else.
Sure,
for comedy,
but like when the plot moves, it doesn't move anywhere. And when it does, it doesn't make any sense.
His best movies are all about guys sitting around talking to each other about other people, like. That's what he needs to stick with because that's what he's great at. But, like, at least he's trying to do other things. You can't take that away from him. And there are parts of this movie that are a lot of fun. Like, it's not great by any standard, but you could have a lot of fun watching
Tusk was a much better film than this.
I agree. Yeah. But I'm not talking about it, like, from a film creation standpoint. I'm just talking about, did you have fun watching it?
I guess.
And I had fun watching it.
Like, it's fun right up to the end, and then it just gets ridiculous and stupid.
I have two worst movies of the year.
Worst movies?
Worst movies of the year.
So this is movies you didn't enjoy.
Did not enjoy.
Okay.
And they're both Warner Brothers films.
Okay, I'm going to take a stab at this.
Can you guess what they might be?
Do they both have extended cuts? Ultimate editions that came out?
I have not seen the extended cut of one of them. I don't want to.
So Batman vs. Superman is definitely one of them.
One of them, yes.
And Suicide Squad has to be the other.
That's the other one.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, those are pretty bad movies this year. Although I would say Batman vs. Superman is fun, but it's not good.
Yeah, I think Batman vs. Superman is a lot of fun, actually, but it's not,
so
not a very good movie.
Out of these two movies, which one is more fun?
Batman vs. Superman.
I don't know. I might go the other way.
Suicide Squad is shit on wheels, is what it is.
Better than Batman vs. Superman.
It's shit on wheels. It's on fire, and it's just heading to crash. That's what it is.
It's heading to the...
I don't hate it as much as you do.
It's so bad.
But it's not a great movie.
It's heading to the Ghostbusters ending at the end in the sky is what it's doing.
It did it better than Ghostbusters did.
I didn't even want to waste my time watching Ghostbusters. There's better movies to watch.
I watched that on Christmas Day.
I gave Ghostbusters a chance, and I watched it. And, you know, I chuckled two times in the entire movie, and both times were because of Slimer. So that doesn't bode well for the film.
Maybe if ever it shows on TV, I'll give it like a...
But the Ghostbusters animated thing, I discovered the real Ghostbusters animated series, they re-released it finally, just in case anybody out there was a fan of the cartoon. Like, you could not get it for so long unless you paid like $200 for the box set on Amazon, because it was so hard to find. They only released it when Blu-rays first came out. Now you can actually get the first five volumes for like $30 anywhere.
On Blu-ray?
On regular DVD.
Oh, okay.
But at least they're there now. At least you can watch
them. Yeah, I have season one. On the metal case.
Yeah, but it's so hard to find. Even that was really hard to find.
I bought it when it first came out. So.
Yeah, but apparently they're doing the first five volumes now, and they're going to do the second five volumes soon.
Shit, they had that many seasons?
10, yeah.
No shit.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that many seasons.
That shit's real, yo.
But it's $30. I saw it at Walmart. I saw it at Best Buy. I've seen it on Amazon. So if you were a fan of that show and you've wanted to revisit it, now you can.
$30.
Very cool. Let's end this episode, or this portion of the episode, on a high note.
Yeah, sure.
The real Ghostbusters. So that concludes our movie segment. Now on to television.
Woo-hoo.
The small screen, the small silver screen.
Now,
some of it is better than the movies out there.
I would agree.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot more storytelling is being done on TV than it is.
They have
in
a lot more. They have a lot more time for storytelling.
Yeah,
you can get a 2.5 hour movie. You can't really do a lot of character development and storytelling compared to like a 10 hour episode show.
Well, yeah, not in comparison, but I disagree. Movies were the go to if you wanted to like tell a great story.
But there are a lot of I'll give you that. But there's a lot of TV shows where they do.
You can do a lot more with a TV show just because you have more time.
Sometimes they do
what you're saying.
Too much on a just
sure.
Stretch it out too much too.
But I mean, that's the difference between a good show and a great show,
right?
There's a couple shows that are actually on my list that I think they stretched out a little bit too.
And why don't you go ahead and start us off with?
Well, let's talk about that one.
Which one?
It's
Better Not Be Gotham.
It's on my list.
Son of a bitch.
This one is a Netflix series, though.
Uh-huh.
It's Luke Cage.
Luke Cage.
I think if they made that season like half the amount and cut some of the extraneous shit out, it would have been a much better show. I had a lot of fun watching it. Some of the action stuff was really great, but I really like Cottonmouth as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
and I didn't really like Diamondback. He was sort of comical to me.
He was comic booky?
I think that's that's what they're going for, though. I mean, it's a big change between the real world villain you're seeing through most of the series and the very cartoony comic book character that he becomes.
Yeah, it was a very juxtapose of villains.
But I actually really liked that because I like the comic booky stuff, and I wish they would make these series a little bit more. Like, I love the dark realism that a lot of them have, but I also wish, part of me really wishes that they would go back to a more lighthearted, super cheesy, comic booky kind of thing. And I think they took a chance with that and tried to do it in Luke Cage, and it didn't really work as well as they wanted it to. But it was still acceptable to me, because at least they tried.
Iron Fist comes out in like 2 months.
I'm excited for it.
Does it really come out that soon?
Yeah, it's like in March.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too.
I just want to see a cool Kung Fu show back on.
I heard today James Gunn is actually pushing for a Moon Knight show.
I heard that
he's going to work on. That would be...
For maybe for Netflix.
That would be amazing. I'd be really excited for that.
Even like a 2-hour episode of something.
Luke Cage was really good. I feel like it was, you know, definitely top three of the Marvel series for me.
It's better than season 2 of Daredevil, which was on my list.
I don't know.
Because I really liked
Daredevil season 2 a lot.
There's a lot of stuff
dragged in places.
Like.
I liked the stuff with Kingpin a lot.
Yeah,
I
he's the best thing about that show.
Yeah.
I did really like John Bernthal as Punisher.
I liked him a lot more than I thought I would, because I don't like the actor at all.
I know, you don't.
But I thought he was pretty good in that role.
Just because you don't like The Walking Dead.
No, it's because he can't act for shit.
He can only do mean Southern guy.
Yeah, he has one range, and that's all he can do.
I did like his Punisher, though.
I did, too. I was impressed with it. That was the first thing I've seen him in that I enjoyed.
He fits the Frank Castle look that they're going for that show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But Luke Cage was good. It didn't make my top 10 list, but I enjoyed it. None of the Marvel shows made my top 10 list, actually.
Interesting.
Right on. I don't have a top 10 list for TV shows.
I watch 50 to 60 TV series a year, at least.
Wow, that's crazy.
I did kind of pull back on movies this year, but I feel like I've gone even further into the TV realm than I usually do. So I've definitely got a valid opinion on TV series, I think.
Right on.
That every show that you watch... It's probably 18 to 22 episodes.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 22 hours per show times 60.
Yeah. I watch a lot of TV.
I want your job.
I do have a job that allows me to do that.
So why won't you start us off with your number 10?
Sure. My number 10 was Outcast.
Okay. Oh, really? Shit. I forgot about that.
I forgot about Outcast, too.
Holy fuck. That was a great show.
It was really well done. It took everything about... the comic is okay, but the comic's really slow in a lot of places, and they took the best parts of the comic and made it better for TV.
I totally forgot that came out.
I didn't believe Kirkman could do after watching Walking Dead, because he did the opposite for Walking Dead. He took all the good stuff and threw it out.
I think
made
for
a
Walking Dead,
show.
He just like let go of the reins kind of
deal.
He was heavily involved in the first two or three seasons, and those were the worst seasons. So
I like season 1 of Walking Dead.
Well, because it stayed close to the book until the very end, and then it went off on its own weird little thing. But Outcast is very true to the comics, which I like, but they threw out the boring, slow-paced stuff and made it very accessible. It's dark. It does interesting things. Like, it's caught up to where the comics are right now. So going forward, we're going to see completely new stuff.
Oh, cool.
It may break away from where the comics go at this point.
That would make sense, though.
But everything they've done so far, I've thoroughly enjoyed. It's excellent. It's just excellent.
Have y'all seen Outcast at all?
I've seen maybe the pilot.
Oh, there's a lot more.
I know there's a lot more.
And it's a short season, though.
It's about demon possession and this guy who has the ability to outcast demons for... He doesn't know why.
Like, his blood has the power.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Yeah. It's very good.
Do you have it, Dave.
Do
you have a show on your list? Any shows?
I literally watched, I think, two shows that came out this year. Daredevil Season 2, which we've already talked about, and Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
I fucking love.
Stranger Things is my number two on my list.
It's my number one.
I don't... It's on my list, but I don't think it's as high as you guys.
Really?
I mean, there was a lot of hype once I got into it, but it was a great show. I mean, it did live up to the hype, but there was a lot of hype that sort of...
I was very curious when I saw the first teaser of it, and I was like, all right, I'll be into watching this. And then I watched it, and I couldn't stop watching it.
I watched it twice, and the first time I finished it, it's one of those things that sticks with you. Because I kept thinking about it for like 3 or 4 days after I finished it the first go-around. And anything that does that for me, you know, it's going to become one of my favorite things, because I love series and movies and anything that makes you think. And we came up with all kinds of different fan theories. We were talking about it
totally
nonstop for like that first week. And then I rewatched it with Heather a couple weeks after that. And I loved it just as much the second go around. So I'm really looking forward to season two.
What happened to Barb?
She got eaten, bro.
Yeah, Barb's gone.
Maybe.
She ain't coming back. The writers, like, confirmed.
They ate her and used her as fuel for the egg for the second Demogorgon.
Maybe so.
That's what I think.
They pooped her out.
Yeah. So, Outcast was my number 10. My number 9 was Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is on
my list. That's much higher on my list. Mine, too. That was my number 5.
It was good. This is the first season where they've broken away from the books because the books aren't caught up to it.
I just think this is probably the best season they had in the last two seasons.
It is, because there's not as much filler, because they only know where they only have the story beats that George R. R. Martin's given them. He said, this happens, you guys figure out point A to point B, and they didn't waste time on foolishness. Like, they hit the important beats and kept the story moving, and it was very fast-paced and very enjoyable.
It was a shorter season, too, wasn't this season?
It felt like
there's 10 episodes.
Still 10?
But it felt like it went by very quickly.
Yeah.
Because there was no lag. There was no lull.
Because the season before this, they ended on Jon Snow dying.
Right.
And that was like one of the better episodes in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then the season before, I don't even remember what was the cliffhanger on that one.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
But anyway, this last season is probably one of my favorite seasons from Game of Thrones.
It was good. It was very, very good.
It's up there with like season 3.
Yeah.
Season 3 was great.
I'm a book fan. Like, I read the books way before the series ever came out, and I've always compared, you know, the two. I like the books better than the series. I think that's common for most things, but yeah, this was definitely a great season.
He's a Game of Thrones hipster, is what it is. I liked the books before the TV show.
I guess so.
I had friends who were telling me about the books, and I was like, "Oh, they're making that into a show. I'm going to watch the show." And then I saw the show when it came out.
George was like, "Do those books have any pictures in them? Do they have thought bubbles?
Only the illustrated books is what I read.
Okay, I mean comic books.
My number 8. Is Mr. Robot.
I didn't watch this season.
I feel like it didn't end as well as season 1 did. And season 1 set the bar so high that it was almost impossible they could live up to that standard. Like, season 1 of Mr. Robot is one of the best season 1s of any show ever. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I've watched the pilot.
season 2 is very good. It takes some weird chances, which I admire. It's a little bit predictable in places, but I was very happy with it overall. I feel like it was a little bit better than Game of Thrones.
So is there going to be a third season?
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, okay.
For sure. Number 7 was a show that probably nobody watched but me. It was a show called Better Things.
I've never even heard of that show.
I saw them promoting that. Kind of a dark comedy sort of.
It's about a mom and her three kids.
Mom,
yeah.
And, yeah.
And she's a kind of semi-washed out actress.
Is that an FX show?
Pamela Adlon. She was the off on and off again girlfriend of Louis and Louis' show.
Oh, okay.
And now she has her own show. It's not the same character, but it's the same actress. It was brilliant. Like, it was smart. It was funny.
So it's produced by Louis?
It's produced by Louis, yeah.
Oh, okay. You have talked to me about the show before.
I loved it. I could not wait in between episodes. I was like, I can't wait for the next one.
Better Things?
Called Better Things, yeah.
So it's on
FX.
You have
two shows in your top 10 that have things in the
title. I do. Yeah, Better Things and Stranger Things.
Yeah.
It's really good. I recommend anybody that likes that type of humor, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Dark comedy?
It's not super dark. It's just about the struggles of life, and it's a very human show,
okay.
Which I think is why I like it so much.
Interesting.
Number 6 was Ash vs. Evil Dead, which
that was my number four.
Probably be I'm so behind. They're all on the DVR. I just haven't fucking watched them.
It's excellent. Everything about it is excellent. I love the whole cast.
So grab your kids and watch
season 2 is better than season 1.
Season 2 was better than season 1, and they took some really interesting chances. Like, that's this whole year has been the year of taking chances with TV, which is great.
It's weird for me because I'm a big horror fan, I'm a big Bruce Campbell fan, a big Evil Dead fan, and I just haven't sat down to get through this one.
Have you watched
the
first season?
I watched the first few episodes.
Hmm. You would love it. You just would.
There's an episode in season 2 where the main monster or villain in the episode is a hand puppet.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
There's an episode in season two where a car comes to life and just wreaks havoc on an entire town.
I didn't like that episode as much.
I thought it was pretty interesting.
It was interesting, but it wasn't my favorite episode.
There's also...
Okay, you got me at Puppet. I'm finishing it this weekend.
There's also the single grossest scene that has probably ever been on a TV series ever in the history of TV.
Is that the one where he gets inside the body?
That's the one where he gets pulled inside the body from the asshole.
And the balls and testicles are like
rubbing on his face as he goes through.
Don't ever say poop to me ever again.
it's a great season if you like that kind of stuff.
It's great. And then like in the way it ends, it connects so perfectly with the original trilogy.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Oh, okay.
There was a lot of throwbacks to Evil Dead 2
and Evil Dead 1 and
Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
A lot more this season than last season, cuz I don't know if they knew if they were going to get renewed or not.
Right. And I'm looking forward to season 3 for sure.
I thought that that some of the we're not referencing Army of Darkness had to do with rights to the character.
That's what I thought too, but apparently that's not the case no longer. Okay. At least not in season 2.
I mean, it's like, let's drive a car back in time.
Okay.
it's like, are you sure this is a good idea? It's like, I've done this before.
It's like, let's bring back the rape tree. Like, okay. They brought back a lot of stuff, a lot of homage stuff. Like
the fat lady in the basement comes back.
Yeah. It was pretty All right. great. Pretty great.
I'm looking forward to that then.
My number 5 was Halt and Catch Fire. It's one of the lesser-known shows on AMC.
I've wanted to watch that show.
I am hooked.
That was my number 3 show.
Really? Yeah. Every actor on that show is excellent.
God, this season was so good, though.
It was.
It was their best season yet.
It was.
I don't even know what it's about.
It's the tech boom in Texas. Well, it starts off with the tech boom in Texas in the 1980s. Mm. And it's about this certain group of individuals that get...
That's the only reason I'm interested in it.
Season 1...
It has to do with... tech history.
Season one was the early 80s, and it was about the creation of like the PC. Yeah.
And it was kind of like the little man going against Dell in Texas.
Right.
And then it kind of mushrooms from there, and it becomes more about the characters and more than less about the history.
I did, going back to a movie real quick, I did watch the part of the Jaws.
Well, the
history
is still very, very important.
Kind of.
Not to interrupt you, but it still does involve like the creation of the internet,
right.
Like how video games became so important in culture. Like there's a lot of stuff that.
Right, but the characters became the forefront.
Right.
As opposed to season one.
Show? It's an AMC show.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an AMC show that struggled because season one barely made it. Season two almost didn't make it.
You know, AMC puts out really quality shows. They've only had one bad one. The Winter's Moon or
Winter's
whatever.
Winter's Sun or
Winter's
whatever.
Winter's Sun. That show sucked. But
it
like,
was
Hell on Wheels was excellent.
I haven't
this
watched
show
Hell
was excellent.
Wheels.
Breaking Bad, of course, is amazing. Mad Men.
They're top tier shows.
AMC is doing really good stuff.
Walking
and
Dead.
A lot of people, well, you know, everybody has a stinker.
I do
once
love
in a while.
Into the Badlands, though.
Into the Badlands is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But if you've never checked out Halt and Catch Fire, I love it.
It's great. It's a great character drama
really
piece.
On? This is number 2.
This is number 3.
Number 3.
There's one more to go, and then it's over.
Yeah.
Because they jump forward like 5 to 10 years in time every single season. So, like, season 1 was early 80s, season 2 was late 80s, season 3 was mid 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah, it was like 93, 94, right?
It was when Windows was like a big deal.
Right, and the next one's supposed to take place in the early 2000s.
When I graduated high school.
So it's catching up to like modern times, and then it's supposed to end.
Is it available, like streaming anywhere? That I can
I'm
find?
Sure it is.
I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah,
AMC
sure
has
it
an app, I think.
Okay, that would be fine.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that I look forward to the next episode every single time. Like, it's the first thing
there's
I watch
that,
when it comes
there's
out.
The show on my list that's sort of like that. It's Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Absolutely hysterical
show. There you go. I didn't even think about that.
Silicon Valley was my number 11. It barely didn't make my top.
I just didn't think the season was funny as the previous seasons.
That's why. That's
but
exactly
it's
what
still
I
a good show. Like, I love the character development that they're doing. I love where they're going with it. I just
Miller,
wanted it to
TJ
be
TJ Miller got better. He was even better this season. But everybody else kind of, like, wasn't as good.
Man, that's TJ Miller for it. And also, you're a fan of it, so I guess it's easier for you to enjoy his comedy.
I love TJ Miller. He's fucking hysterical.
He is.
But he hosted, like, the, what is it, some award show recently, and he was just, there's a whole segment of the show where he pretended, like, he got shot out of a cannon, and then, like, the whole rest of the show, he was, like, dead.
And there we haven't even seen it. We can imagine that. Like, George and I are both huge fans of his podcast, so we love the guy.
That makes sense, actually.
And he's doing this in front of the biggest stars in the world, and you're just like, I love this dude. He's so great.
It would have been funnier if, like, the cannon misfired or he got stuck in the cannon. That would have been more funny.
I think it did misfire. We'd have to pull that up, because it was... And, like, the beginning of the whole intro song that he did, You know those devices, like big long stick, and there's like pretend, there's like all these fake bodies like dancing with it. He was doing that the whole time.
Like a ribbon thing?
No, it's like he's
like
connected.
The line of Michael Jackson's where it's only one person moving, but exactly. All of the.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anything he does is funny.
Yeah, I think he's a funny dude.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
So my number four was Shameless. Shameless, year after year after year, continues to be one of my favorite shows. I look forward to it every season. It's the same kind of thing. It's like I can't wait for the next show to come out, the next episode. I love every single character, and watching them grow up from being little kids to being adults has been a lot of fun.
I didn't watch any of this season yet.
There's some like pretty every season there's some like pretty drastic things that happen, but there's some really drastic things that happen in this season.
They just need to start offing characters, I think, at this point.
Well, I don't think that's what the show's about.
What, like Frank, William Dafoe?
Frank maybe could have died.
He should have died
William
two
H.
seasons
Macy,
ago.
Not William Dafoe.
Oh, yeah, not William Dafoe. So.
Number three is The Exorcist.
No one watched.
Like I said, I'm
show that no one watched.
I'm
going to
wait till they put it all together on Netflix or something.
It ties into the movie, the original movie, so well.
I was flipping through the channels a couple weeks ago and I saw a spoiler when I was...
Finale is incredible. Like, it is violent and scary and intense, and the priests, oh my god, they deserve to win awards for
this
show.
Fox, right?
Yes, I can't believe it's a Fox show. I'm sure it's going to be canceled, but even if it is, where it ended was an okay place for it to end.
Okay.
If you were a fan of The Exorcist at all, you need to watch this show. It's amazing.
I need to check it out. I'm a big fan of The Exorcist, so.
You'll love it.
What was that, your number three?
That was my number three. Number two is Westworld.
Yeah, your number two was my number one.
So, with me on Westworld, I just started watching it yesterday. And I'm hooked.
It's a great show.
I'm like halfway through episode three, and if we weren't doing this right now, I would be watching it. Truthfully. I finally just had some time. I had the day off from work, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to watch the pilot. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch another episode. All right, I'm going to watch another episode. I'm hooked.
It's a great show. It's one brilliant. Of the few shows in a long time that made me like, oh, what's going to happen next episode? And like, I have to wait. Unlike Stranger Things, I watched immediately.
Right.
So I didn't have that anticipation or thinking like, what's going to happen next episode?
There's so many fan theories, and everybody was talking about it and trying to figure out what was going on.
That's what made it so fun, I think.
Yeah.
And I haven't had this much fun watching a show since Lost. And Lost is definitely one of my favorite TV shows.
What else you got?
And Stranger Things, my number
Stranger
one.
Stranger Things? Yeah, do we miss anything on your list?
No, he covered everything.
What about you? We got everything?
Stranger Things was my list. Unless you count the like stupid ghost hunting shows that I watch.
We forgot to mention Trollhunters.
Trollhunters, that's on my list.
Yeah, I started watching that too. I finished that in like 3 days. I need like 25 episodes.
I need to check it out.
It's great.
It's animated. I don't know if you're going to like it.
Honestly, I like animated TV series. But I'm not big on sitting there and watching an animated feature film.
You're so weird.
I know. I'm a weird dude.
And Star Wars Rogue Rebels.
Star Wars Rebels.
Season 2 was really good this season. Season 1's okay. Season 2 is better.
It's on my list. We're on season 3.
Oh, 3. Sorry. Yeah. Well, one of the seasons was kind of weak, and I can't remember which one it was.
A little bit of 2, I think.
Well, 1 has like a saggy part in the middle that's just kind of boring. It's all filler.
That's what she said.
I just don't like Disney and Pixar. I think that's what it is. Like, I like DreamWorks films because they're a little bit more adult.
Are they, though?
Not really, dude.
I feel like they are.
But like, yet Star Wars Rebels, there's a lot of mentions of them in Rogue One, and they said they're eventually going to get to that period.
Yeah, did you see the new trailer that came out for
with
Rebels?
Saul Guerrera?
No, the one with Obi-Wan and Darth Maul
Obi-Wan
about to go
Darth
at it.
Vader, or Darth Maul fighting.
Yeah, it's going to go nuts.
When I was at Star Wars Weekend at Hollywood Studios a long time ago.
He's going to cut him in half again.
The big Star Wars store, guess what it was called?
Obi-Wan?
No.
Oh.
Come on.
Darth Maul?
Darth Maul.
Yeah.
That's great.
Gotham. I enjoyed this last season.
I watched it. It was okay.
It's fun.
Is it, though?
It is.
It is not a good show.
I didn't say it was a good show.
It's gotten better. You know, like season one, I understand why you didn't like it, but it's gotten better as it's gone on. It really has. And like this season wasn't outstanding or anything, but it was definitely passable. It was definitely comparable to like anything Arrow or Flash has done.
Okay.
Maybe I just like the character better, that world better than like the Arrow or their Flash world or.
But world, they're pussyfooting around the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the point.
Okay.
All right.
It was fun. I mean, it was enjoyable for what it was, but it wasn't like top 10 TV or anything for me.
Does anybody watch any sitcoms or comedy stuff like that?
Yeah, I watch a ton of stuff. I mean, Last Man on Earth has been
Last Man on
pretty
Earth's
good.
Season has been great.
The Goldbergs is excellent.
One of my favorite. I have to say Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I really like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too.
I don't like Andy Samberg, so I refuse to watch it.
Well, Andy Samberg doesn't like you.
Good, because he sucks.
That show is hilarious.
It's
Terry Crews is funny.
Terry Crews is really funny.
Andy Samberg is not funny.
Andre Brower
is so funny. He's such a, like, his entire career was like serious stuff until he started doing this show. He does comedy so well.
But it's straight comedy.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah,
and
it really
is. I can't think of her name, but Sandberg's girlfriend on the show.
I can't think of her name either.
Holy crap.
She hot or something?
She's beautiful.
They're all really good.
Oh, yeah,
she's very attractive. Oh, yeah.
And I got tired of Last Man on Earth.
It got a little repetitive towards the end of the last season, but they did some good things this year, I thought.
Still watching, like, Family Guy and things like that.
Of course.
I just keep on watching.
I did watch more Simpsons this year than I normally do.
South Park has been on point.
This season of South Park is one of the best in a long time.
I haven't watched South Park in a while.
It was very culturally relevant because they did the whole overarching storyline again, which they did last year
and
this year.
All about the,
and it was all about the election, and it was very political this time, which...
Mr. Garrison is Trump.
Yeah.
And he wins, too.
I mean, it even gets to the point where he's like, they're getting ready to do the election, or to do one of the debates, and it's him versus Hillary. Hillary's actually his opponent. And all of his advisors are like, you need to do better with women, you need to do better with Hispanics, like, don't go up there and say anything offensive. And her advisors are telling him, whatever your opponent says, make sure you say he's a liar and he can't be trusted. So he has a panic attack before he goes up on stage, and then he goes up there and he's like, you know what? I'm not qualified for this. You guys are idiots if you vote for me. You should vote for her. She's the only one that has any kind of experience. I'm a complete moron. And then she's like, my opponent is an idiot and a liar and cannot be trusted. And then he ends up winning anyways.
It's so good.
It's really, really well done.
You have to watch the season of South Park. Well, that's it for TV. We've run the gamut from Stranger Things to South Park. I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah.
Word.
And welcome back to the show. We just talked about TV, and we've talked about movies. Now we have a couple other topics to get to for our 2016 Rewind, and that includes our favorite comics, our favorite video games, and our favorite albums of the year, our musical taste.
Ooh.
Ooh. Which one do you want to start with?
You're on the mic. You go first.
Let's start with comics.
Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah.
Speak No Evil.
Yes!
Yes!
And what else?
Speak No Evil.
Yeah. Are you top five? Come on, keep it going.
That was the only comic I read this year.
Oh.
So. Well, at least it was a good one.
If you're only going to read one,
make it a good one.
Make it count. That was my number one as well, just so everybody knows.
No, not allowed to do that.
What? Why is that not allowed?
I have a legitimate top 10 list. Comical, my podcast ended back in October. So I haven't actually talked about comics in a long time, but I do have a top 10 list, and this is probably the only place you'll be able to hear it. So
that's right.
My number 10 book for the year was Deadly Class by Rick Remender and Wes Craig. You know, it's about the school where they train kids to be assassins. And
I thought that ended with...
No, there's a new class that started.
Oh!
Yeah, the new year started with a whole new incoming class of freshmen.
It's Deadlier Class now.
Well, it's like the incoming class of freshmen.
Oh, okay.
And, like, the main character from the first season, quote-unquote, died.
That's not in a trade yet.
You may not be caught up to that point.
Okay,
sure.
That's what it is.
But it's been really good. I love Rick Remender's writing. He's one of my favorite writers of all time. I think it's an excellent series. If you never checked it out, it's one I highly recommend.
Word.
My number 9 is Blood and Dust from Mike Martin and Adam Orndorff.
I know that guy.
You do know them. They helped us when we were getting started with our comic. This comes out on Action Lab Comics. It's a really interesting series about a vampire family that lives in the swamplands of Louisiana.
Oh yeah, I did read that. That was a good comic.
It's really good, right?
Yeah, I really enjoyed reading
that.
And
it's about a grandfather who kind of protects his vampire family from the rest of the world. But every once in a while, somebody from the town that they live on the outskirts of comes you know, comes and asks them for help or comes and tries to figure out what's going on with them. And it's all about the weird interpersonal relationships of being a vampire living on the outside of society, but it has a much more like bastardy feel to it.
Hillbilly,
curmudgeon-y, yeah. Bastardy feel. I don't really know how else to say it, but it's a lot of fun.
Get the banjos ready.
Yeah. One of my favorite series of this year. East of West, Jonathan Hickman and Nick Dragotta.
I have yet to start reading that.
I really like this series, and they really ramped it up this year.
Cool.
It's all about this post-apocalyptic world where, like, the second apocalypse is about to happen. The Four Horsemen have been reawakened, and the quote-unquote beast, the harbinger of it all, and all the different societies that kind of exist are trying to prevent this thing from occurring. It's really good. It's like a futuristic Western.
Cool. I'm all about it. I have trade one at home. I just haven't read it yet.
Yeah, you'll like it a lot. Number seven is Saga, which, you know, every year.
Still going strong.
I'm so far behind on that series.
I mean, it was my number one for like, or in my top two or three for like 2 years in a row. It's consistently at the top of most people's lists. It's a space drama.
It's an odyssey.
It's an odyssey story. You know, it's a lot of things, and it's just really good. If you've never read Saga, I highly recommend checking it out.
I've read the first volume of the graphic novel.
In my opinion, it's the best series of the last 5 years, even if this year wasn't the strongest year they've had.
Hmm.
So, next is the only superhero comic that actually made it on my list, Spider-Man and Deadpool from Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness.
It's one I actually read.
It's a lot of fun. Like, it's the best interpretation of Deadpool I've seen this year. And
you don't like the 150 other ones?
There's been a lot of Deadpool.
Trying to say Gwenpool's not your favorite?
No. I'll be nice and I'll just say no.
You can say fuck Gwenpool.
Fuck Spider-Gwen more than Gwenpool.
Oh yeah, Spider-Gwen.
Fuck Gwen Stacy, seriously. She should have stayed dead. She kind of ruined the Marvel Universe for me.
Brought her back for the wrong reasons.
Honestly, like, but Spider-Man and Deadpool has been very lighthearted and upbeat, and it's basically
super fun. Yeah.
It's like a bro comedy kind of thing, and I've just really enjoyed it. Plus, Joe Kelly is like my favorite Deadpool writer from back in the day, so
he's
nice.
Awesome. Got to meet him at Comic Palooza's here.
He's super nice in person, too.
You're very modest, too.
Yeah.
My only complaint about that series is that you have to have a lot of back knowledge to understand a lot of the plot points.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That's my only thing. Well, because I don't have like a vast Marvel
We bought
knowledge.
One issue of that series this year because Penn Jillette wrote it.
Yeah.
My wife picked that up.
They did have a couple of guest writers come in on the episodes or the issues where they needed a break for whatever reason. But overall, it was mostly them. It's a lot of fun. I really like it a lot. My number five is Weird Detective from Fred Van Lente and Guiu Villanova.
I like Fred Van Lente.
He's one of my favorite writers.
He's a nice guy, too.
He's a super nice guy as well.
Was he at Amazing Con?
Yeah.
Or Space City?
Space City.
Year.
He was at Space City
this year, yeah.
The con that should not be named.
Right.
He writes a lot of stuff for Valiant.
Yeah.
And he writes a lot of like Dark Horse and indie stuff that's his own creation. But this is about a detective who has Cthulhonic kind of powers. And he's investigating all these disappearances that are happening in this like Bay Area. And
you should like this, Dave.
He sees things in like 36 different dimensions instead of just two or three like we do. Three like we do.
You only see things in three dimensions?
And he basically takes over this detective's life. Like he puts the detective into a coma and then assumes his role in society. And like he has nobody he can talk to about it and he's bored. So he basically gives this cat intelligence and sentience. And the cat is his best friend, but the cat is a cat. He has the same personality any cat would have, and he's a total dick to everybody.
An asshole cat.
He's just like, I don't give a shit what your problems are. Feed me and clean up my poop.
Nice.
just like a cat would.
Just like a cat would.
I'm gonna have to write this down.
It's very funny. It's very interesting. I like the final showdown between him and the main villain of the book. It's a miniseries. It's only five
so
issues.
It's a one and done kind of thing.
Yeah, you can pick up the trade and just read the whole thing.
Right on. I might do that.
Definitely my favorite miniseries of the year. I didn't really break it down into like ongoings and miniseries time, though. Number four is another Jonathan Hickman series. He made it twice. Black Monday Murders.
I have not read that yet.
I've been
meaning to pick that up.
It is the most involved and complex comic I've read in years. There is so many little nuanced things going on, and you have to pay attention to everything because there's a lot of like redacted letters and things that are, you know, in the pages between the actual comic, and you have to read that stuff and like pay attention to what characters it's talking about.
Well, like an Alan Moore comic.
Kind of. Yeah. It's very similar to Alan Moore's like older stuff. It's super involved and it's really dark and it's about Wall Street. It's about these bankers that control the world and how society moves through money, but it's all they get their powers from a dark god called Mammon, and they've been sacrificing people for years and years and years to make money and to control everybody.
Sounds like the plot
money.
Of Trading Places.
It's very much that same movie.
Very close to that.
You nailed it, Carrie.
I got it.
But it's very interesting, and it's super involved, and I like how complex it is. The next one is Kill or Be Killed. That's number three from Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips.
I'm super excited to read this.
They're one of my favorite creative teams.
Brubaker and who?
Sean Phillips.
Okay.
They've done a lot of stuff like Velvet and other stuff. But in this one, a guy gets possessed by a demon, and he's basically told, well, he's dying. And he gets told, you know, we'll keep you alive, but the only way we're going to do that is if you kill people for us. And you have 30 days to kill somebody, or we're going to kill you. And so he's like, well...
I didn't realize it was a demon. I thought it was like a secret organization.
No, it's a demon that possesses him.
Right on.
Secret demon organization.
Yes.
Ooh.
SDO.
Even further.
So he... At first, he's very reluctant, and then he remembers a pedophile he knew in high school, and he seeks that guy out, and he kills him. And he's like, well, maybe I can use this for good. So he starts out trying to go after just bad people, but the demon's not having any of that. So it kind of takes him down this darker path than he wanted to go down, and like it's all about him losing his family and like all this crazy shit that happens. But
cool.
It's a very good series.
I like Ed Brubaker a lot.
I do, too. Number two, Nailbiter. It's consistently been my favorite series for the last few years.
I've only read trade one.
I picked up the first trade, first two trades on your recommendation.
It's about serial killers in this weird town that spawns
serial killers.
Way too many of them. It's complex.
It's a big nail biter.
It is.
Ba-dum-bum.
It is. There's a lot of mystery behind it. I like all the characters. He did a lot of character development because you care about everybody. It's Josh Williamson. He's one of my favorite writers. So Nailbiter has been excellent this year. I'm looking forward to the conclusion of the series next year. And then my number one comic is a new series, which I know George loves as well.
It's probably the same number one I have.
The Fix.
Yep, that's my number one.
From Nick Spencer and Steve Lieber.
Have not read that.
It's about two detectives who kind of skirt the law.
There are two cops who are not very cop-like.
Yeah. What if cops just decided to be criminals one day? Who's going to stop them?
Wow.
And it's like that's
a piece of fiction.
And it chronicles between the two cops and their time doing criminal acts.
And
criminal
activities. The absurd shit they get away with.
Yes. So absurd.
It's a comedy book. I mean, it's not serious at all. Like, it doesn't take itself seriously. The friends and the acquaintances they have, and even their like informants, are all like the most ridiculous caricatures of people.
What we need to do is
encounter.
We need to put your top 10 list in our show notes so people can go to the website and actually discover these for themselves as well.
I actually have a couple that wasn't on your list. I'm surprised.
I have some that none of mine were on your list, really.
I Hate Fairyland.
I love that show. The comic.
I didn't know what it was until I saw the cover. I thought it was just a coloring book for the longest time. Sure enough, it's a real comic, and I'm a huge Scotty Young fan.
The first six issues came out last year, and they were great. I feel like the second volume really dropped off in quality.
Really? I thought it was even better. I thought it was funnier.
It didn't do it for me.
Oh, man.
As much.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was a fun read.
Overall, it's a very fun
story.
It's
a very fun read. The characters are funny. If it was to end here, I would be satisfied, but I know he's doing another one, so I'm excited to see where he goes with it.
I am too, because I think it'll get better as it goes on.
What else you got?
The other one, I don't know if anybody will mention, but it was Darth Vader.
I would agree on that one.
That was probably one of my favorite comics to read
this year. The Star Wars Marvel series is on my list.
Most of the Star Wars books were great.
Yeah. Han Solo was
Some of the miniseries were a little weak.
Princess
Leia was weak. Chewbacca was weak.
Rest in peace to Carrie Fisher, but...
The Poe Dameron story was very weak.
Yeah, I did not like that at all.
The Force Awakens prequel stuff was kind of weak.
The Kanan story was kind of weak, too.
I sort of liked the Kanan stuff.
All of the story was already told in Rebels, so I didn't feel like...
Well, yeah.
You learned anything new.
Star Wars was good.
I would have to have a Rebel series. That'd be cool.
Vader was excellent.
Vader is the best awesome. That they had.
Lando's miniseries was pretty good.
I didn't read that one.
Who did the Lando series?
I think it was Jason Aaron, too.
Yeah, Jason Aaron.
He did most of it. Like, he had the vision for it, and he really made it all feel like you were watching a Star Wars movie as you read it, was the impressive thing.
So I'll go through my quick list. Most of my stuff, it's Marvel, I'll tell you that much. Vision series, I love the Vision.
I heard a lot of good things about
that. I didn't read it, to be honest. Like, I read the first issue and I liked it, but I didn't keep up with it. And, like, I'm a friend with Tom Cook, what's his name, that writes it. Like, everybody kept telling me how good it was. It just, it fell off my radar and I never got a chance to
read it. I think you should revisit it. I think you would really enjoy it because it's not your typical, it's not a superhero book at all. And it's
a robot with problems.
Yes, it is. A robot with problems. Not in Westworld, but it's a humanoid, an android. Howard the Duck, Chip Zdarsky.
I enjoyed the first 5 issues, and then it just, after
well,
that.
The first 5 issues were 2015, and then the second creation of Howard the Duck was when Gwenpool became highly involved.
Okay, so that's when I stopped reading.
That's when I fell off, too.
It just got really kind of boring, and Gwenpool. I didn't like the story.
I don't like Gwenpool. I don't like Gwen. Like, Jesus, she should have just stayed dead.
Another series written by the same author, it's Sex Criminals.
Did that come out last year?
I just discovered it this year. I read volume 3.
The first 16 issues were in 2015.
I was about to say, like, that came out a while ago.
They've been like 4 months between issues this year, so there's only 4 issues that came out this year. It's good still, but it's not enough, I think, to make my top list.
One of your writers you had on your list, Joshua Williamson, wrote a series that I really enjoyed.
Haunted Mansion?
How did you know?
No.
He only did the first 3 issues, though.
Yeah.
It was good. Well, what I read of it, I enjoyed.
It's a good series.
So it's about the ride, or is it about like the history of the mansion?
Yes,
both,
kind of. Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued. I want to read it.
It's about a little kid that gets trapped in the mansion for a night, and
the ride,
the house,
the real, the real house. Mansion. Okay, I was like, if he gets trapped in the ride, fuck, that's scary.
But you know, there's a lot of things they've drawn from the ride and put into the book, and it's a fun read, especially
fun,
if you're a fan of the.
It's not really super like horror style, but it's
a lot like the ride.
Yeah,
it's a lot like the ride.
Exactly. Oh, so does it have an end, or is it going to ongoing?
It ended. It's
5 issues.
Yeah, it's a little bit creepy, but also like a little bit lighthearted and kind of fun, just like the ride. You know,
cool.
I had I Hate Fairyland on my list too.
There you go.
And I'm enjoying Champions.
I actually haven't read it.
It's fun.
I believe it.
I don't know what that
but,
is.
But it's the new Young Avengers title.
Basically, yeah.
It's like Miss Marvel, Nova.
Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The Amadeus Cho, Hulk.
Hulkling,
whatever they want to call
him.
Or the Asian Hulk.
Totally Awesome Hulk.
Yes.
Totally Awesome Hulk.
And Young
Asian Hulk.
Cyclops is in it.
Yeah. Got kind of burned out on Young X-Men characters, too.
I'm surprised it lasted this long, but whatever.
Started so good, it just should have ended a long time ago.
Agreed.
So that does it for comics.
You left out Headlopper, because we were talking about that
yes,
before.
That's right. We were talking about that 2 seconds ago.
It probably should be on my list. If anything, it's like number 11 for me.
It was just, it's not like the most original story, but the way it's presented and the fact that one guy did everything is amazing.
Andrew McLean's very talented.
And it is good, nice pacing of the story, and it's fun. The characters are fun to, especially Headlopper himself. He's fun to
Yeah, that and follow. Rumble, I think, are the 2 books that didn't make
read
my top 10.
Rumble, what is that about?
It's about this society of demons that has kind of faded away as humanity has become more prevalent and taken over the earth. And there's one who was like the enforcer for the good side of the demons that he didn't really die. They just took his soul out of his body and imprisoned it somewhere else. And then when he finally managed to escape 2,000 years later, his body was nowhere to be found. So he had to inhabit something. So he took over a scarecrow. And now he's out for vengeance against all the people that imprisoned him.
Okay. So a scarecrow killing things.
He's trying to find his body because it's still out there somewhere. And he's slowly finding pieces of it.
Oh, so it's like in pieces?
It's been split apart, yeah.
Wow. I've been meaning to read that because I heard so many good things about it.
He befriends a few humans. They're like teenage boys. And, you know, they make all kinds of stupid jokes as they're going along. And, you know, it's very, like, lighthearted, but it's also super violent. And, like, you know, it's a really fun series. I like it a lot.
I've also liked Birthright a lot, too. That's been fun.
Birthright's been really good.
But it's been around for a while.
I feel like Birthright's the weaker of the 2 Williamson titles.
All right, so let's move on to video games.
Okay.
What's your favorite iPhone game you played this year?
You mean what's my favorite video game I've played this year? He-Man and the Tappers of Grayskull.
And tapping away.
I have been playing a game sort of like that. I'm playing the Disney Emoji Blitz. I'm just addicted to that game. I play it like every day. Just
you know they're making an emoji movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know TJ Miller's in that?
No.
He won't turn down roles. You wouldn't either if you were trying to...
He was in Yoke
if anything
Bear,
can save that movie, it's going to be him.
I won't see it.
So let's... How many of you guys actually played video games this year? I mean, real video games.
I watched you play Titanfall 2.
Yeah,
does
right.
that count?
That's actually on my list.
I watched people play it on YouTube.
I played the beta for Friday the 13th, which I thought was fun.
Sounds fun. It looks fun. I'm excited about that one.
I finished Uncharted 4. That's like the only game I played that came out. All right,
so let me go down my list real quick, all right? So I really enjoyed Headlander.
What?
Headlander.
Never heard of it.
It's,
Is that the game they advertise on Adult Swim all the time?
Yes. It's an Adult Swim game that's done by Double Fine. It's basically you're a futurist. It's a very futuristic, like, sort of a
you're like a head that
game.
Separates from a body, and you can take over in other bodies that have, like, different abilities. You float around as a head, and you're like, all of a sudden you're a robot. And you float around, and all of a sudden you're an amphibian.
Double Fine
you float around, and all of a sudden you're...
It is a very Double Fine
thing.
Is it
a mobile game, or...?
No, it's a Xbox One, live game, whatever.
You had to pave to get it, whatever?
Yeah.
It looked mildly fun in the
It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's very awkward and strange, which is probably why I like it so much. I really, 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 really liked the new Call of Duty Infinite Warfare game.
The space one.
Yes.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I watched it on YouTube.
Gamer now?
I am not a bro gamer.
Yeah, that's what I heard you say. You're a bro gamer now.
I am not a bro gamer.
Did you drink a lot of Monster while you were playing?
I did not get my Monster when I got this game.
It was Extreme.
That was a bag of Extreme Doritos.
I had my Extreme with the X. You know, I never would have... I play the Call of Duty games. They're fun, but I would never... ever thought that a Call of Duty game would be on my top game of the year list, but Infinite Warfare is such a great game, narratively well done. And of course, it does have the typical Call of Duty's, you know, first person action gameplay, but the game is just so well done. It's so much fun.
I saw someone play it on YouTube because I know I'm never going to buy the game.
I got it free.
There you go.
From Central Media. Thank you. I really, 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 really loved Uncharted 4. Number one for me.
It's my favorite game of the year.
It's the only game you played.
Well, to be fair, I have a PlayStation 4, and I play mostly PlayStation games.
I think that was the best narrative game of the year in the long time. There were some glitches with it. There were some problems with the gameplay.
I saw no problems with my copy.
It's still my top game of the year. Titanfall 2, I had a lot of fun playing through it, even though it was short.
It had some fun mechanics in it.
It does. That
I watched
one level
somebody
where
play it.
You can go back and forth through the different time zones. Great. I wish the whole game was like that.
Not really time zones.
But it was like time lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you go from like 1 year to another year.
And you have to alternate between them
to actually
get past
get
obstacles.
Time zones, not like time zones like central.
You're like, you're driving from Texas to New Mexico.
You know what I mean.
We're now in mountain time.
Battlefield 1 is a lot. It's a really good game.
Yeah, that was. I watched the gameplay, and there's like only 5 stories, but man, those stories are great.
Did Star Wars Battlefront come out this year? I did play that
a lot last year.
Came out 2015, I think.
Ratchet and Clank. I'm a huge.
Oh yeah, I played that
Ratchet
game.
Fan, yeah,
that was a fun game.
It's sort of a remake of the original, and
I never played
remastering,
the
reimagining in a bit.
I did play that game. I totally forgot.
I like the Doom game that came out, but it's fucking difficult as hell.
So. This is the only new game that I've played this
year.
You're
a Doom hit, I know.
And even if I had played all of the games, this was going to be my favorite. I know that that's the case. I know that this was going to be my favorite game no matter what.
Why is that?
One, because I'm a huge Doom fan. I'm regularly replaying through the original Doom and Doom 2. At any given moment, I probably have a save file that I'm actively working on.
Isn't there like a simulator for the old game and the new one?
There are. So one of the things about the original Doom is finding secrets in the levels. So there's secrets that you can find in the levels in the new Doom that look like the old levels. And when you find those, it unlocks classic levels that you can go play.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. But... So, big Doom fan. One of my favorite games of all time.
Not the music, but the game.
The music's good, too.
Yeah, the music is good.
So, Doom 3 was okay, but it wasn't Doom.
Right.
And that was a lot because of the technical restrictions they were working with, because they were... they were really pushing the graphics for 3 at the time, and they really wanted to create the dark atmosphere and all that kind of stuff. And
they accomplished that.
They did. But because of that, they couldn't do what really made Doom special, which was throw tons and tons of monsters at you all at once. It was basically...
You couldn't shoot and use a flashlight at the same time.
Yeah, you can fix that.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, it was basically down corridors,
yeah,
kind of one or two monsters at a time. Not really Doom. It's fine. I don't mind considering it part of the Doom universe or whatever, but it didn't really feel like Doom. This game
It wasn't
was
waves and
Doom.
Waves of demons coming at you.
This game fucking is.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And one of the things that I loved about it, big first-person shooter fan, this is the first first-person shooter game I've played in a really long time where the game starts, they say, here's where you are, here's a gun, start shooting things. You don't have to go through all the fucking
training and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just have a gun and start killing. Yes. More of that, please, guys. And you start, and it doesn't stop. It's just killing fucking demons.
That's right.
And
hell yeah.
Switch, like, if you stop moving, you're dead. You have to switch weapons constantly because all of the different demons require different strategies to beat. So all of the encounters are... I have one reviewer before the game came out use this phrase, and I think it's perfect. It's combat puzzles. It's really fast paced. You have to make decisions on the fly. Be like, okay, I gotta kind of like crowd control these guys over here while I take on this big motherfucker over here. It's so much fun. It is awesome. It is Doom.
Very cool.
It's so the music is cool in it. It's kind of genty, kind of industrial. But it sounds...
It's always sort of been that way.
It's always been industrial, yeah.
That mechanical metal stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I love it, man.
I
want
to see Fear Factory do a Doom soundtrack.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah. Saying it's the game of the year for me and then saying it's the only new game that I've played, it doesn't fucking matter. This was going to be game of the year for me. I fucking love it. The multiplayer... is fine. I know a lot of people don't like it. I'm not a big multiplayer guy anyway.
I haven't played multiplayer on really any of these games that I've talked about.
And I guess the one, if I had a complaint about the multiplayer, and it's been said by a lot of other people as well, it's that they use the loadout system like your Call of Duty games and stuff do, which isn't really in that kind of first-person shooter. I think it would have been nice to have gone back to the old death style or deathmatch style where you start out with a basic weapon and then you have to pick up stuff in the level as you play. I think that would have been cool. But it's still fun. I enjoy it. Multiplayer is fine, but really the campaign is where it's at. I played through on Ultraviolence twice and I started on Nightmare a couple of days ago and I'm on my way. And then, then Ultra Nightmare, once that's done.
I've been playing Super Mario Run.
I've been playing the free version.
I paid for it.
I did too, actually.
If anybody wants to add me, just follow me on Twitter and ask for my code. I'll give it to you.
I actually picked it up recently, too.
At ComicalJC. It's a lot of fun.
My last game on my list is, can you guess what it is? It's not a console game, either.
Is it Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Close. Planet Coaster on the PC.
It's the same thing, isn't
No, it's not. Technically, yes, it is,
okay,
but it's not.
That's what I thought about. I'm pretty sure it's the same
but
thing.
Yes, I will give you Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic on the iPad. It's been a time consumer for me, so love that. Cool. But yeah, Planet Coaster is a beautiful-looking game. I have an old PC, so I can't really make the park that I really want to make because my PC will just slow down to a crawl. But maybe one day. I'll get to build that huge part.
One day you'll get to build that fantasy roller
coaster. One day
coaster.
I'll build my fantasy coaster.
Are you going to make your own version of the Haunted Mansion?
That'd be awesome. I wish you can, I'm sure, if you take the time to do it. Cool. Do you want to talk about like our top five-ish albums?
Sure, we can do that.
Let's do it to it, Lars.
And so this is a sort of a precursor because Justin was on the previous episode of MSRcast that's coming out right around this time, and then Dave is going to be on the next one talking about his favorite and playing his music.
So don't spoil anything, I guess.
So we are going to give a little bit of spoilers here a little bit, but you don't get to hear the music on this episode.
That's true.
That's right.
Here we're just flashcarding it up.
Right. Here's the flashcard.
Yeah.
So let's start with Dave. What's some of your top albums of this past year?
You have a top five or a top 10 list?
No.
I have a top 25.
I'm not doing top stuff.
Yeah.
There was too much this year, and so much of it was so good. I'm not even trying to rank this shit. It's just hard. Basically what's noteworthy to me and all that. But one of the really, if I was ranking, one of the ones that would be way up there, Omnium Gatherum, Grey Heavens.
It's my number four for the year.
I kept coming back to it all year long, and every time I came back to it, it was like just as enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. I like that album. I thought it was pretty good.
They won melodic death metal, as far as I'm concerned, this year. And they had competition.
It was my workout music for the year.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, I lost a lot of weight. I was walking all the time, like Omnium Gatherum and Elegion. Like, I listened to those two a lot.
That one was good, too. Proponent for Sentience, when you're talking about. Yeah. I've never listened to them before. This was the first of theirs that I checked out. Same for Omnium Gatherum, actually. I may have listened to them before, but...
I know I did before, and I kind of dismissed them.
Yeah.
But they got a lot better, obviously.
Apparently.
Yeah.
They did.
What else, man?
You want to run down my top 10?
Yeah.
All right, so my number 10 was a band called Charybdis. They had a new album called Samsara. I played that for Carrie yesterday when we recorded MSRcast. What did you think?
It's really good. It's really technical, thrashy... what's the word I'm looking for?
Metal.
Yes, it is metal.
If you're going to make a joke, you got to say it into the mic.
Metal?
Yes, it is metal. Very good. Thank you. Everybody give George a...
It is really good, and it's not...
A clap.
It's varied enough that it doesn't get boring.
Melodeath, that's the word I was thinking of.
It is melodeath, but it's like technical melodeath, which is one of my favorite genres.
Kind of like Elegion.
Kind of like Elegion, yeah. But very different sounding from them, because the vocals aren't quite as clean as Elegion's. They're a lot more like growly.
Okay.
That's saying something.
I like them a lot. My number nine was a band that has the worst name on my list, but their album's very good. Harakiri for the Sky.
Wow.
The album's called Trauma. The band is excellent.
You found out about them on Hot Topic.
Well, I'm sure Hot Topic sells shirts for them with a name like that. But the album's actually great, if you get a chance to check it out. Number eight was Ancients, Voice of the Void.
Haven't listened to
Ancients
that
one. Ancients is on my list.
The way I keep describing this album is if Mastodon and Ghost had a baby and taught it to like black metal.
Yeah.
That's really what this sounds
There's
like.
There's a lot of aspects of that album I like.
Yeah, me too.
It sounds like something exactly you would be really into.
Carrie and I both thought that when we first heard it.
It's like, wow, this might be something George likes.
Yeah. Number seven was Insomnium, Winter's Gate.
I only listened to it once. I got to that one really late in the game. And like the past two or three weeks, I've been trying to do a whole lot of catching up. And I mentioned it the other day. It's like for every album that I listen to, I find two more.
Same here.
That I'm like, fuck, I gotta listen to that.
But the Insomnium, it's one song which is 40 minutes long, but it's amazing.
It's really good.
Really, really good.
One of their best albums.
Yeah. Exactly.
Number six was Abbath's solo album.
Still haven't listened to it yet.
Excellent.
Either.
Abbath.
It sounds like Immortal, but it's him. And there's a little bit more like weird elements into it because it's not exactly Immortal,
and the production on it is much different.
Yeah, but I like it a lot.
It's very raw and very natural sounding. I
went back to it so many times this year, really loved it. Number five was Evergrey's Storm Within. Four was Omnium Gatherum. Three was Elegion. Two was Dark Tranquillity for me.
I like Dark Tranquillity a lot. Like, as far as like your Gothenburg sound guys, they're like my favorite, and this one still hasn't. I've listened to it two or three times, and it hasn't really stuck with me yet.
I feel like it's their best album.
They're the truest band that stuck to their guns. Really.
Yeah, they really haven't changed their sound a whole lot compared to the other guys from that era.
Yeah,
but this particular album it really spoke to me because of everything I've gone through this year.
This is the part of the show where George just nods and agrees. He's like, "Mm-hmm, yeah."
Okay. I love it. And then
Gothenburg is a city in Sweden, and I'm.
And a lot of metal bands from the early 90s came from there.
In my opinion, the number one album of this year was one I discovered just a couple weeks ago when you guys told me about it. I feel like it's the only album that came out this year that's comparable to what Behemoth the Satanist was for me last year, and that's Arctis from Isan. So fucking good.
Really good. And I was listening to it while I was driving to Dallas because it had been a few months since I had listened to it again, and I wanted to kind of have it fresh in my mind. It is so good. One of the last times we were in the same place together, you said something about how Until I Too Dissolve
yes.
is like the best song of the year. It's really fucking good.
It is.
That's
it
a great song.
It starts off like a fucking 80s hair metal like guitar riff, mm-hmm. but you're just like,
I can't figure out what the best song on the album is, honestly, no. because they're all so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's inspired me to go back and listen to his back catalog, too, mm-hmm. because, like I told before, I'm a big fan of Emperor, but I never really listened to his solo stuff. So I've been got like for the last 2 weeks, I've been listening to like nothing but his song.
Yeah,
most recent ones
the two
before
prior
this one?
To this, I kind of missed them. Like, I think they came out in like a period of my life where I was just very disconnected from a lot of what was going on, and so I'm not really familiar with them. But I think everything prior to that I have, and they're all really good.
They're all really good.
They're all really good.
The one before this one. The latter half of the album is a lot of really experimental noise, mm-hmm. and it's not so much songs, it's just like experimental noise.
Yeah.
So
he has some other background in that kind of thing.
I don't really like that album as much as the others, but literally the first half of that album plus every other album is like, how did I miss this?
No, he's absolutely one of the best composers in metal.
You're 100% right. I've only been listening for 2 weeks, and I can tell you, you're 100% right.
And I feel like, and he always has been. Even with Emperor, he was doing things that were groundbreaking and have become kind of cliches in black metal.
Mm-hmm.
But they're that way because he made them that way.
Right.
Even back then, he was doing experimental stuff that was blowing minds, yeah. and he's just a brilliant writer, and I think I said last time that when they write the annals of heavy metal history, he's going to be one of the names of like the people that stand out. And I feel like even though this album has gotten a lot of attention this year and is on a lot of lists, I still feel like overall a lot of people don't have any idea.
Yeah, they just overlooked it, because I did. I completely overlooked it until you guys told me about
that's
it.
Right.
And you know,
I think
thank you guys so much.
I think that's true of his career as a whole, especially his solo stuff. I feel like there's the old guard black metal fans who are like Emperor, you know, but there's not that same enthusiasm for his other work, and there should be, because it is that good.
I agree.
So that one would obviously be on my list as well.
What else is on your list, by the way?
Man, all kinds of stuff. So one that I'm putting on here, even though it didn't technically come out in 2016, it came out in December of 2015. So there really wasn't an opportunity then to get it. But that I've come back to over and over and over this year, and I've talked about it on the show before. Batushka Liturgia is so fucking amazing.
We've had that on George Hates Metal before.
Yeah.
I've listened to it four times.
Do I remember
now.
It? No.
I like it.
It's really good.
It's really good.
You don't remember Batushka?
I don't think so.
It's not
no.
the kind of thing you can listen to all the time.
It's the black metal band that had like the Gregorian or the chanting and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Like the clergy kind of chants.
Yeah.
Do I remember liking it?
You didn't like it.
Okay, I'm good.
I'd be
surprised if you did.
It was absolutely one of my favorite things that I just kind of stumbled across it this year, and it's been absolutely one of my favorite things.
It's still in rotation for me. Like I haven't developed the appreciation for it that you probably have, because a lot of plays I feel like is required to really fully
yeah.
grasp the album. But I can see that it's one of those type of albums that rewards multiple mm-hmm. listens. So I'm going to keep listening until I get to that point.
It's kind of one of those that I feel like it rewards sitting in a dark room by yourself and just listening to it, you know,
yeah.
like that's all you're doing is listening.
Yeah.
What else you got?
I feel like it's maybe a little bit cheating, but given how much I actually listened to it, I think I have to count the Ghosts Pope Star EP that came out, just because I listened to it a whole lot.
I had that.
I listened to that a lot
EP.
Too.
But see, let's not go too much in detail on everything, because we want everybody to get more into MSRcast, where we really will dive into this shit. We'll play some of this music.
We talked really in depth about my list.
Yeah, we did.
So you should do the same for Dave.
We know we're going to.
One thing I do, I also want to add though, is that kind of surprised me, even though I'm a big fan of the band, Amon Amarth's Jomsviking. they're continuing to do the same thing they've always done, but this is one of the best representations of it that they've done in a long time.
I put that, it wasn't on my top albums, but I put this on a category I created this year called Obligated Albums.
Okay.
It's good, and you sort of have to talk about it because it is a Monomars, and I would also put Sabaton and Opeth in that category for this year.
I feel like Opeth's a little bit better than that because I feel like this move towards prog rock that they've done over the last few albums, which I've been fine with.
Me too.
A lot of people really hated Heritage, but I loved it. I thought Heritage was awesome. But I feel like with Sorceress, they've really nailed it. They're like, okay, now we've done this. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get a gear shift from Opeth in the future, because I feel like now that Aukrefeldt and company have kind of mastered this thing, they're going to move and pull something else in now.
Hmm. Interesting point.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
What about you, George?
Far as music goes?
Yeah. What's been some of your music for this year?
Well, a lot of the stuff I listen to is like, I mean, I listen to all the stuff y'all like recommended make me listen to.
This is your time to shine.
My time to shine. Well, no one's gonna really care what I listen to.
I don't know that.
Run the Jewels album just came out. I listened to that.
Number 3.
Yeah.
What's it called?
RTJ3.
I've heard a lot of good things about it on Facebook from all my friends that like that type of music.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Yeah.
It was a really shitty game, but the music was great. From 65 Days of Static for that new game that came out that sucked really bad.
What game was that?
That space game. No Man's Sky. Yeah.
I did listen to that. That was pretty cool.
The soundtrack to that's pretty dope.
I like that kind of thing. That was cool.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. DJ Shadow came out with a new album. That was pretty good.
Didn't see that one coming.
Because it was...
A shadow.
Yeah. Exactly. But bum bum. Trying to think of what else. Health. I discovered health last year and I became
it's
huge.
It's good to be healthy.
Just see the eye rolls, guys.
Jesus. If I can just shoot myself from the eye rolls.
Is that the Stranger Things guys?
No, but also the Stranger Thing guy Survive is pretty good.
That was cool, too. I
know you
that.
Listen to that a lot.
And, that led me to listening to some of their other material, which I enjoyed.
And Health is kind of like a Depeche Mode type band.
See, I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I like them a lot. The only reason I discovered them because they had a remix that came out last year, and then I went back and discovered the rest of their stuff.
Mm. No, nothing metal eyes that... sort of popped up on your radar this year?
Nothing y'all guys haven't mentioned already.
Okay. I'll mention some bands. You already mentioned Insomnium, the Winter's Gate. Love that album. Let's see. I'm going through my list here. Can y'all guess any of them? Let's play this game.
Anthrax.
For All Kings is definitely probably my number one or number two album of the year.
Megadeth,
yes and no. It's probably...
It's much lower in the
category.
Megadeth was noteworthy to me.
It's a great album.
Because it is a good album, and it's one of the best that Megadeth has done in a really long time. Yes. I don't think it would show up on like a top 10 or anything for me just because of how strong a year it's been for metal.
Right.
If it had been like any other year, it would probably be higher up. It's a solid release. Best stuff Megadeth has done in a really long time.
Agreed with everything you said.
I feel like that is true about all of the big thrash metal bands, that Metallica showed up strong, but there's a bunch of shit else going
on,
guys. Sorry.
Metallica, yeah.
Yeah. Most of Testament's album was really good.
There's a couple songs on there that
there's
it down.
Two songs that really suck, but the rest of the album's pretty decent.
Yeah, that one.
I think I said this that the one about the gambling destroys that fucking album.
Well,
it's so bad.
Yeah. That and the Can of Business song.
Can of Business,
yeah, those.
But I sort of
like
that song because it's very Practice What You Preach era style.
It's not that great of a song, but...
No, but it's not as bad as the other one.
No, both of those suck. The rest of the album, though, I liked a lot.
What else is on my top?
The Monkees, probably.
The Monkees' Good Times is actually my number one album this past year.
See? I told you.
It's a good album.
About Devin Townsend.
Devin Townsend, Transcendent, is there?
It never... I listened to that one again on my drive to Dallas. Mm-hmm. I've listened to it four times over the past week, and it's still just not quite there for me. And I think I can see that. I'm trying, because I like Devin Townsend, and I'm in this album I've been paying particular attention to because of how many lists it's been on, how many end of year lists it's
been on.
You know
the weird thing about it? Did you listen to the double disc or the one version?
I've listened to the double disc. I had all of the bonus material I've listened to at least once, but I haven't listened to it.
Some of the bonus material is
better.
Some of
that is really fucking good.
It's better than in the natural album.
Yeah. I've been paying a lot of attention to it because of how many lists that it showed up on, and it wasn't that great to me first listen through, so I'm like really wanting to see if I'm missing something. And I feel like the problem for me is that I thought Epic Loud was so good. That was probably would have been my top album from that year.
Yeah. Me too.
And it was so good.
It's hard to top.
I don't know that he's ever going to be able to top that again.
I think Addicted is my favorite Devin Townsend Project album from this era.
Okay.
But yeah, Epic Loud. So this album's different. It's, you can't really, it's not as catchy and poppy as some of, it's like Epic Loud and like, you know, Addicted really was. So you have to sort of go into more of a prog mind, you know, because it's definitely a different style of album.
It's certainly good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to imply that it's not. I think that, I don't know that it deserves to be on as many lists that it's on, but it is a good album.
That's your opinion. That's fine.
I forgot to mention The Sword came out with an acoustic album.
They did.
Yeah. I like that a lot, too.
I did not know that. Can you guess any other bands, albums from my top?
Borknagar?
Are they any good?
I keep hearing something about it.
I heard they're pretty good.
It was a good album. It didn't make my top 10, but it was close.
Yeah, it didn't make my top either, but I did enjoy it.
It's pretty high up for me, but not my top 10.
One of the, kind of a similar case with Borknagar, but going back way further, Empiricism was such a good album. Yeah. They've never been that good again to me. Even though they do respectable work regularly.
Like the first two tracks on here, the Mountain.
The Mountains.
And then Winter Thrice. Phenomenal songs, but I don't think the rest of the album can really live up to it as much as the first two tracks.
Yeah.
What about Oceans of Slumber?
Oceans of Slumber is pretty high on my list. Winter. Yeah.
Listened to it quite a bit this year.
Yeah. It's a really, really good album. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that because we're friends with the guys or we know them or anything like that. But yeah, it's a really, really good album. Speaking about local real quick, I really dig the new Hellstar.
The new Hellstar was really good.
It's fucking ripping.
I listened to it once just about 2 weeks ago, and I was like, this is...
And Blues Funeral.
Blues Funeral, great. Yes. I love the guitar work in the Blues Funeral.
Very heavy, you know, organ-driven. Oh, so good. But I'll go through the rest of my tops real quick, which we'll get into more on the next episode of MSRcast. Aventasia, Ghostlight.
I listened to that album once. It was way earlier in the year though. Was there one of the tracks called Lucifer? Was that one of the?
Yeah,
I liked that one a lot. Overall, the album didn't really stick with me. I remember liking.
But
that
you're not
one
a
song.
Huge fan of his style, though, are you? I have to
really be in the right mood to really get into that kind of stuff.
So moving on, one of my favorite thrash albums of the year that nobody has touched upon really, and it's really gone under the radar. It's Metal Church 11. I love this fucking album.
I haven't listened to it.
Mike Howell.
Did we watch a video from Metal Church? It was like a
live video.
Everyone like loves metal or something, or metal's for everyone.
No, that was something really different.
That was really corny, and God damn it, that was bad.
I remember that video. That wasn't Metal Church.
No, it was not Metal Church.
The name sounds corny enough that it was associated with that.
What's also really good, it's the Trees of Eternity album. Have you heard this yet?
Mm-mm.
No. It's a great somber album. It's the guitar player from Swallow the Sun and the singer. Her name was Alia. I can't think of her last or how to say it. Stainbridge. She was on the last Swallow the Sun album and the last Amorphous album. And this album has come out posthumously because she passed away from cancer earlier this year. And he worked on it very, very hard and diligently to get this out. And it's a beautiful, beautiful album. The last track on it actually features the singer from Paradise Lost. Really, really good. But it's very, very somber, very heavy. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful album. It's a sad album, really. Nobody mentioned Flesh God Apocalypse King.
I was just about to, actually.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good.
I haven't listened to it in a couple of months. I did give it, because it came out pretty early in the year, like January or February, pretty early on. And I didn't really return. I think I probably returned to it once in probably middle of the year, and then I went back and listened to it through one more time a month or so ago. Flesh God Apocalypse kind of showed up a few years ago, and they're we're going to do death metal classical music, and
it's tech death mixed with a movie soundtrack.
This one in particular.
Oh yeah.
Like they've always had the classical music be as a part of it, but this was a really masterful execution of it.
There's a version of the album that has a second CD, which is just all orchestral music.
Isn't it? It's just the orchestrated parts from the other music, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't really listened to that because the metal stuff is cool. I like orchestra music. I like that kind of stuff. But if I'm listening to this, I'm just going to go ahead and listen to the full experience.
Isn't it funny? There's two major bands that are out there doing this stuff right now, which is like mixing, progressive extreme death metal with orchestral classical music. One is Flesh God Apocalypse. The other one, Septic Flesh. They both have flesh in the
I haven't really listened to Septic Flesh.
Dimmu did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, but
it's not that uncommon.
Well, these
guys do it like to the full extent.
So did Dimmu.
They did. I understand what he's saying though, because I understand what you're saying, because when Dimmu Borgir was in their highly orchestrated phase, I love that shit. But they're coming at it from a black metal perspective. This is the tech death.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that argument. Yeah. That argument I can see. Yeah.
And the last two albums that I really want to talk about from our power metal kick, it's New Freedom Call, Master of Light, and Hammerfall, Built to Last. Yeah.
I don't listen to a lot of Hammerfall.
I went through the entire Hammerfall catalog last week on Spotify at work, starting from the first album, moving my way up to the new one. Didn't get bored once. Even the live albums.
One more I'll mention, at least here. Maybe I won't talk about it on MSR Cast so I don't piss off Sean. Russian Circles.
You can piss off Sean. I want you to.
Had a fucking great album this year.
It's a really good album. And also Alcest. Kodama.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten around to it.
It's really good.
You know, Sean put Alcest in his top five. So if he gives you shit about Russian Circles.
Well, fuck him then.
Yes. You bring that up.
If you listen to the Sean, you just got called the fuck out.
I mean, there's such a similarity in the sound, I think, that...
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I mean, they're both excellent, in my opinion.
Well, I think that wraps up our rewind. We've touched upon movies and TV shows and video games and comic books and what music we've been into this year. I think that's the whole package right there. Anything else you could think of? What's been your favorite cereal this year?
Cereal?
Cereal this year?
Cereal. What's your favorite cereal?
I don't think I ate any cereal in 2016.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I almost never eat it.
I don't drink milk as much as I used to.
I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but I don't think I've had it since 2014.
I used to love the Reese's cereal.
I eat the chocolatey Special K because it has little chocolate pieces in it.
Mm.
And it's still good for you.
Is it, though?
Good-ish for you. Okay. It's lower than... Yeah.
I don't pretend. Lucky Charms. You know, right,
yeah?
Not.
Is it because of you have the red hair?
That's racist.
Truthfully, if they sold just a box of the little chocolate pieces from that Special K cereal, I'd be happy.
It's called chocolate.
It's called Cocoa Puffs.
No. This is completely different. These are little chocolate chunks.
It's called chocolate. Just buy a candy bar.
Chop it up it into
and
pieces.
Pour it in some milk.
All right, fine. I'll try that. I'll enjoy it, but it won't be the same thing.
And just tell yourself it's healthy. It's good for you.
It's the same thing. It's cereal.
It's in milk. Right. It's going to be good for you.
That's right. I'll do that. Maybe that'll be my resolution for this year.
Eat nothing but chocolate milk.
In milk.
Yes.
Not chocolate milk.
Oh, chocolate and milk.
Right. All right. We're moving on. This brings us to the end of episode number 121 of the Metal Geeks podcast. You have been listening to our 2016 Rewind, where we discussed our favorite video games and comic books and TV shows, movies, music, and all that good stuff.
Everything so, that can entertain you.
And just remember, this is only our opinions. And if you heard anything on the show, maybe one of the bands you heard about or one of the movies you haven't seen yet, go and check the stuff out. Because that's the only way that the bands survive is by you checking them out and listening to them and going to their shows and then going to the movies and seeing these movies when they're out there. You know, vote with your dollars, guys.
Buy the Blu-ray. Support what you love. Like, it's important to support what you love.
Or even buy it on Amazon or buy it on iTunes, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely the type of person that sees what I can for free. And then if I like it, I will spend the money to support it.
That's right.
So I always support what I love. If I don't like it and it's garbage, then you're not getting a cent from me. But it's just kind
of
the way.
I usually go to the movies and see most of the movies.
You go to a lot of movies, so.
That's what I do.
Really?
You would never guess.
Never.
Have you ever been in the movies? And I'm trying to do a really bad segue here. Have you been to the movies and there's a lot of people talking around you? And the movie hasn't started yet.
And you wish you had some headphones?
You wish you had some headphones to drown all that nonsense out?
No, but this would be a good time to start. Well, what kind of headphones would I use for that?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Maybe some Bluetooth Sony headphones?
Oh, yeah. I got some of those, too. What about TweakedAudio.com?
What about it?
I'm telling you all about TweakedAudio.com.
Please tell me more.
If you want some great-sounding quality headphones for a cheap price, go to tweakedaudio.com, put in the discount code MetalGeeks. You're going to save 33% off your entire order. You're going to get lifetime guarantee and free shipping.
And they don't sound like poop.
They do not sound like poop.
And by supporting them, you're supporting our show, and we thank you for it.
Support what you love. Didn't I just say that?
That's right. We don't ask for anything but your love and support, right?
So treat yourself.
A review that really helps get the word of the show out there. Find us on all this stuff, all at Metal Geeks. If you need to email us for any reason, or at gmail.com. I check that daily.
All the hate mail, everything.
Hatemail.com. Okay, so.
And the show?
There you go. Where can they find the show?
Other than.
We've dwindled that list down to the select few.
So there's a select.
Of course, our website, metalgeeks.net. You can find
us. That's a given.
ESO Podio.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop. That's it.
All right. I'm going to have to decline that invitation.
Where can they find you guys?
If you want to find me, starting recording this week with George and my friend Andy.
Whoop, whoop.
It's going to be called. So keep an eye out for that. Also, George and I write the comic. So if you want to check out Speak No Evil.
It's quality.
You know it's good, right?
And I'll be in the next issue, so it is quality.
Yeah.
Did you see your...
It looked great.
Our Kickstarter backers who had themselves drawn into the issue are going to be really happy with it.
Me too.
We're only like 2 pages away from being done.
Yeah. We're right around publication, Twitter and Instagram. We're also about to start con seasons right around the corner for us.
Yeah.
So,
and if you want to pre-order the book, it's available on our website, graybearcomics.com. That's G-R-A-Y for updates.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Yep.
That was quick and easy.
That's it.
Painless.
Well, most of my projects are in flux right now, so nothing's going away, but everything is changing. So,
very cryptic.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, this is the end of the episode, so I have one last thing I need to say. Fuck 2016. Yes. And keep it metal.
And keep it geeky.
Always keep it geeky, bitch.
Poop.
Hey, everyone. It's Brian with Metal Geeks and MSR Cast saying happy 2017 and taking a quick look back at 2016 for some of my favorite things from the year. As far as TV, I really spent a lot of time with Stranger Things, Black Mirror, and Candle Cove. Looking at movies, of course, you can't look at 2016 without mentioning Rogue One, but Magnificent Beasts, and I'm a huge horror buff, so Hush, Conjuring 2, and thanks to the Shockwaves podcast, Train to Busan were on my list for tops. As far as comics, I don't have a lot of time to read with the crazy schedule I have. However, Speak No Evil, that's the only one that I think is worth talking about. Now, when it comes to music, that's a whole other thing. I'll spend more time with that during MSR Cast, but a few artists that released great music this year were Catatonia, Ancients, Oceans of Slumber, local Florida death metal legends Killing Addiction squeezed one in right before the year ran out, and of course, Borknagar. Thanks again, guys. Enjoy the rest of the podcast, and happy 2017. Can't wait to see what happens. Keep it geeky, keep it metal.
Hey there, this is Pop Mojo, running down my favorite things of 2016. Starting with movies. I love Train to Busan, the South Korean zombies on a train movie. It was wild and woolly and had lots of feels. I Am Not a Serial Killer was a surprise independent treat. Starring Christopher Lloyd and the little guy from Where the Wild Things Are, who's not so little anymore. I loved Hunt for the Wilder People from Taika Waititi, who is currently directing Thor Ragnarok. Kubo and the Two Strings was my top animated movie. I have to give honorable mentions to 10 Cloverfield Lane and Richard Linklater's Everybody Wants Some. Oh, and Deadpool, enough said. Turning to TV, The Exorcist ruled. Stranger Things, it was what we needed when we needed it. Atlanta was great. And sci-fi is back with The Magicians and Candle Cove. My regular faves, Black Sails, Vikings, and Game of Thrones raised the bar. And sitcoms, People of Earth, and The Good Place get a mention here. In comics, it was a banner year. My top has to be Matt Kent's Department H, followed so closely by Jeff Lemire's Black Hammer. Four Kids Walk Into a Bank by Matt Rosenberg gets high marks, as does Eric Powell's Hillbilly. For Marvel, The Vision was awesome, and Jeff Lemire reinvented Moon Knight. Joshua Williamson's Haunted Mansion title in the Disney Kingdoms imprint was great, but I may be biased, being of the Haunted Mansion cult. Cape Carson Has a Cybernetic Guy was pretty cool too, and title debuts from Motor Girl from Terry Moore, No Angel from Eric Palicki, and Speak No Evil from, oh, you know, two guys from somewhere. They were all promising starts. Mentions are plentiful, but I'll narrow it down to House of Penance, Southern Cross, and Descender. Music? Well, I'm the guy that loved Dream Theater's The Astonishing. I'm still digging Taylor Hawkins' Coda EP. Animals as Leaders, Metal Instrumentals on Madness of Many was a highlight for me, as well as The Search from local band Blues Funeral. The Stranger Things soundtrack albums brought back an 80s vibe, along with Survive's RR7349. Round this out with two rap titles, which is totally out of character for me. Awaken My Love by Childish Gambino and Tribe Called Quest. We got it from here. Thank you for your service. Let's close this all out with some mentions for horror movies that stood out last year. The Autopsy of Jane Doe, Hush, Green Room, and The Invitation are all worth your time. Lots to look forward to in 2017, but topping the list for me is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, followed ever so closely by War of the Planet of the Apes and the Belko Experiment. Please remember to follow me at pop_mojo on Instagram, and see you next time.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.